Hello, basketball gamers. Welcome back to the NLSC podcast, and we have a very special episode for you today. My name is Andrew. With me, as always, is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And we have a couple of special guests today. Originally, we only thought we would have one, but we do actually have two. Please welcome back to the show one of the men who started the whole show, Lefthos.
Hello, everyone.
That's sexy. And voice.
Thank you.
He's back again. And also back again, the other gentleman who helped kick off the podcast, or I should say tip off, since it's a basketball podcast, John Jasmine.
Back again. Now, you got to stop stealing that from me. Because whenever you guys take a week or two off, all of a sudden, back again, it's like, that's mine. It's mine. I get to use that once a year, please.
At this point, John, you're kind of like the Undertaker. You know, you just show up and put on a good performance. You know, once a year, it's fantastic.
And well, speaking of years, I do want to say congratulations on your 14 years at the NLSC.
Oh, thank you.
And to toot my own horn, it's almost been a year since I've been here at 2K. Lefthos just had his 2 year. And
yes, I do.
Most importantly, just so I can win, it's going to be in about 1 month's time, my 10 years at NLSC. So.
Yeah, that outranks my 14 years. Yeah,
round numbers, dude.
That's a good point. Yeah, and Ben, what are you celebrating, Ben?
Well, I had that 18-month wait for nothing in the end this week, so that's all I can really celebrate.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. And my job here is done.
Well, the band is back together. We have come together for a purpose to talk about a game that we're really looking forward to. Lefthos, I'm really looking forward to what you can tell us about Fallout 4.
Yes, yes.
And me, The Last of Us 2.
Yep. And then Gear Solid 5.
Lots of things to talk about, everything but NBA 2K16.
What is that?
No, that is why you're here.
They're making another one?
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised it's you.
John, we can't talk about anything that you're working on, so I don't know why you're here, but...
You know what? I see Lefthos tweet out that he's looking for questions to go on the NLSC podcast. I'm like, not without me. I don't care if I can't say anything. I don't care if I'm just here just to be, as Ben would
heckle,
fourth wheel, which makes everything work properly unless you're riding a trike. But
oh, I like it.
Well done on that one.
But no, I'm here to make this car have all four wheels and ruin it. So,
Mr. Bing.
Well, as I said in the next episode, we will rock it till the wheels fall off. But yes, talking about NBA 2K16, a couple of personal questions to ask. We say personal in inverted commas. Also, just to really annoy the people who got really upset last time when we spent 40 minutes talking to you, Lefthos, in episode 95. You know, we dared to chat to our old friend and ask you a few general questions about working at 2K. You know, even though there was, jump ahead if you don't want to hear this stuff, but apparently that's too much work for people on the internet. Busy people. Hi, people who said that. Alienating everybody, that's what I do on the NLSC podcast. Mostly going to be talking about my GM, my league online, of course. Got a couple of questions to ask you guys, first of all, because people want to know the men behind the greatness, as it were. First of all, I mean, we know Lefthos, but whereabouts in Greece are you from?
I grew up in a north suburb of Athens called Neo Heraklio. That's pretty much the first 17, I want to say, years of my life. Through elementary, junior high, and high school, and then I moved to Patras to join the University of Patras and become a computer engineer, or in other words, a big-time nerd, which apparently pays off, you know? I've been here for 2 years working on NBA 2K, all the times that my mom was too scared that I was spending way too much time in front of the computer. How do you feel now, Mom?
Yeah, Mom.
I've had similar conversations with my mother about running the NLSC, from which I've been doing since high school, which has kind of paid off in many respects.
Episode 127, where nerds talk about their moms.
That's right. Well, we'd also like nerds to talk about their beards. Now, I have a righteous goatee, I feel. You have a glorious beard. left those, and people want to know what you put in your beard, or indeed your bread, to make it look so smooth.
I actually got the same question in two different mediums. Both times it said bread. So if I want to make my bread smooth, I put some butter, maybe some jam, preferably strawberry jam. Cherry jam is also okay. Apple butter. Apple butter is really good if you want to make your bread very smooth.
Is it the same for your beard as well? I mean, yeah, is it like this home remedy?
Totally. I highly recommend dipping your face in a bowl full of apple butter and going out. You're totally not going to get stung in every direction from bees.
And I got to say that the peanut butter or any other kind of butter that Leftos puts in his beard tastes much better in his beard than on bread.
Oh, my God! No. Okay. Okay. We went far.
Don has been kicked out.
The 5 minute mark?
You guys are E10 now, so I mean.
Yeah, I guess that's E10.
Yeah. So we have talked to you guys. You were on the 100th episode. We talked about your experiences getting to 2K. We know a lot of your story already, obviously, and you were doing IT, left us doing programming. Got a question from somebody in the forum who is a graduate IT. They have a job, but they would really like to be part of 2K someday, and. If you can, I know you've talked about it before, but if you could briefly talk about some of the skills they need and how they could come and join you guys there at Visual Concepts.
It depends on what you're looking to do, but the biggest thing I think was, and the biggest thing that I was proven wrong on, was that you don't really need to amass industry experience before a company like 2K, like Visual Concepts, we look at you. Experience, industry experience, can easily be replaced by showing passion and having your creations out there. Like I keep saying, how the NLSC was a major factor in, you know, my cultivation as a modder. John constantly pestering me to create this tool and this other tool because he was too bored to do the hex editing himself. You know, all this stuff. As long as everything you do is public, as far as work goes, and you show a passion, you're bound to get noticed. Like all the recent community hires that Visual Concepts has done over the past 2 years have proven exactly that you don't need significant industry experience. So even if you're like straight out of college, I mean, not to say that industry experience is anything bad. Of course, the more the better. Having a few released games under your belt that can do wonders to make someone notice you, but it's going to be mostly what will sell you to Visual Concepts and 2K is passion, sheer passion about the game. It was that I was very passionate about basketball video games. The NLC got me into the modding scene. I had programming skills and I used them to create all these tools. I never stopped. I even made basketball statistical analysis my thesis, and all that added up to, you know, me being noticed by the industry and ending up here. So if you can get industry experience, that's always useful. But when the time comes to say, you know what, I want to be a part of 2K, you're much better off if you can prove that you're going to be an immediate contribution to the game by showing that you have passion for it.
So what you're saying basically is do all this great stuff for the NLSC.
Yes.
Yes.
Is basically what you're saying. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's good. And what you're also saying is that when people say, thank you, Leftos, for my league and my GM and everything, really they should be saying, thank you, Andrew, for giving Leftos this wonderful platform.
Okay.
So, here we go.
Okay.
So, and really, they should be saying, thank you, John Jasmine, because he's the one who said, hey, let's put this guy in the team. But then I didn't object, so maybe I had the most important role of all. So.
The guy that didn't object. We'll put you under the credits, Andrew.
No, we give Andrew the credit because, hey, Andrew, we really, really want – this is my terrible Leftos voice. We really, really, really want to do a podcast.
Yes. Will you let us do it? And Andrew was like, yes. Okay.
Do I have to do anything? Do I have to do anything for it? No. Go ahead.
Not for the first 7 episodes.
Yeah, there I am.
Just sit back and listen to you guys do it 126 episodes later.
But in all seriousness, listen to what Leftos just said about showing your work and, you know, having that passion, and then think of Leftos, I guess, to my own horn, think of me, think of Dazar, think of Mike Stauffer. Beowulf's War, and look at
Vlad. You can also mention Vlad.
I did. That's what I was saying.
Okay. You went silent on my speakers for a while. Maybe my way too loud for you.
See, I am using the same mic I've always used, and I had to take it out of the packing box for this.
Wow. The sacrifice.
Some people are so angry right now that we're talking about our equipment that we're recording with.
You're right.
Enjoy. A couple other questions just before we get to what people really want to hear us talk about. I've got one here. Do you play basketball in real life against John? And if so, did you posterize him? See, I think it's going to be the other way around, frankly. But
yes, people do not realize how tall John is. I think his fly Fat Boy Fly series has proven that. And I think people don't realize how tall he is because they haven't seen me in comparison to John. So, you know, I used to play basketball as a kid, okay? In elementary school, I picked up basketball as a real sport for the first time. And if it wasn't for a coach that I had that was really abusive, I would have kept playing for many years after that. But so that got me out of basketball. So then I thought, you know, when some colleagues from work were like, do you want to play with us? We play regularly at the gym. I'm like, yeah, totally, absolutely. I want to do that. So then I go to the gym and I realized that people would bring their cell phones and tripods to record the games, right? And the first time I saw myself move around the court and shoot the ball, I was everything that I would make fun of while watching a Naked Squad practice. I was so embarrassed about myself, seeing myself play, and I was like, nope, I do not deserve this. So yes,
this is why there's no my leftos mode.
Exactly. Unless you know we have a mode where all you do is just grow your beard and sit in an office programming a game all day. I don't know how that would fit in NBA 2K, but maybe there is a way. We'll leftos find
simulator.
Yes, exactly.
You got to leave something for DLC. I mean,
yeah. So the answer is yes. John and I have gone against each other and have played as teammates on the real court, but he hasn't posterized me yet. I'm sure that would be.
Yes. I haven't posterized anybody. Yes. The Fat Boy Fly Train. Yeah, you can see I have a California edition where I got to dunk at mocap, which was. It really was a dream come true, because I was always like, I always wanted to say like, okay, maybe Leftos can somehow get me out to California and then somehow get me to the mocap studio and somehow have the basketball hoop set up and somehow let me get a cell phone in there so I can jump on it or dunk on it. And it finally happened. And it, as I said in the video, it was awesome for me. It was a big experience. But I do have to say that this man, when he is on the court, it is very similar to it's passion. He is an ultimate hustler. It hustles his butt off to E10 plus.
That's like a step above saying he's a good locker room presence. It's just trained shot. Most backhanded compliment I've ever heard anyone paid on this podcast. No.
Someone to get you a towel, that's the man to get.
On the court, hustling and staying in front of his guy and trying to get every ball possible and everything. I'm serious. I'm not being a jerk about this.
That's a true Detroit basketball. Yep.
And I hated playing against him because I'm much bigger and I didn't want to set a screen too hard and knock him over.
What about playing with him? Because we've got a question here from Eric, our very own cue bowler, who sends his love to at least one of you. No, I just threw that in. Wants to know when when the two of you are going to go down to meet up with him and Pat P-Dub for a bit of a North California versus South California 2-on-2 epic battle.
Wasn't that next year?
Yeah, I mean, now 20 years. Yes, Andrew, when are we doing that?
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Whenever I get the Kickstarter to e-beg everyone for the money to get over there. So.
Isn't that called calling your grandmother? it's like you know how much I love you. Of course I called you today. It's like, oh, your memory is fading, Grandma. I've been here every day for the past 5 years. Managed to go to America now?
Someone should make a new form of Patreon called Call Your Grandmother. That would be...
That's all the site offers you, like a Skype call button, and it just directly calls your grandma after you've reported all your Facebook contacts.
Yeah. So just wrapping up with a couple more questions for the two of you. Name one thing that you liked the most since you started working for VC. And I guess you can't really talk about some of the stuff that's really under wraps. But in generally, you know, what's been the most positive experience?
Super duper burger.
John. Huh?
There is a...
So nothing to do with VC at all?
There is a burger joint around here that is going to clog my arteries so bad. When I came out here to visit and interview and stuff, Leftos took me to this place and said, it's only special. You do not... if you eat this more than twice a week, you're done.
So when I said working for VC, I didn't mean voluptuous cheeseburger. I mean... But okay. I'll take it.
No, seriously, John, I want you to go ahead and answer that question first.
So what it was my favorite thing about working for VC?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for...
Not having to do with the podcast with you, Andrew.
Yeah, there you go. It's like I said in episode 100 over and over and over and over and over again. It's a dream job. It's I'm lucky to be surrounded by such awesome just people. It's not like awesome programmers, awesome engineers, awesome producers or anything, or it's just everyone's awesome people. Like as a person, I very, very, very lucky. That's the only thing I can really say. And yeah, I can't really single it out. I'm gonna make Lefto single it out. Single one out.
It's on you, Lefto.
I mean, I've talked about VC and the atmosphere and the chemistry and the way things work around here. I think my favorite thing about my experience with VC so far is using it to buy persuasive pizzas in my gym. No, but seriously, my best
cheater.
The favorite thing that I about working at Visual Concepts is that I came in as an engineer with no experience in the industry and just a lot of passion for the game. And immediately after 2K14 was wrapped and we were heading into 2K15, I was in every design meeting about all the things that I cared about, you know, to bring up my ideas and to make sure they become a reality. You know, I don't wanna brag or anything, but you know, all the things that John and I had talked about in the I think it was like Trials Evolution. More than 2 years ago.
The impromptu cast. Yes,
the impromptu cast. Like you can see how that has had an effect and how much of it is slowly making its way into the game because of the creative freedom I've been able to have as a, you know, inexperienced engineer that just has a lot of passion for the game. I think that's the core thing about Visual Concepts. If you only see it as a job, you know, you might not thrive, you'll get your work done and that's fine. But if you're passionate about basketball, if you're passionate about the game, you'll get the creative freedom and you'll get to participate in the designs and you'll get to have fun doing what you love. You know, it's from design to implementation to tuning everything. You're there every step of the way. I've been there every step of the way. And I have, you know, to be immensely appreciative to Eric Benes and Dave Zedirko, my two producers on My League and My Gym that have, you know, allowed me to be such a big part of the team and to influence things so much. I think, I don't know how common that is in the industry. Maybe it is more than I think it is, but it's been, you know, the most positive thing that I really didn't imagine, even going into the industry, you know, having such a big influence. I was thinking that, you know, it's a privilege to work on NBA 2K, to be able to work on such a successful basketball series and to be able to be a cog in the wheel that's going to take, you know, the franchise modes, for example, a bit further, but to be able to actually drive the feature set every year and to, you know, have such a big part in making it reality from how it should be implemented to, you know, last second tuning and changing something, how something works, or adding, you know, editable injuries at the last second because the community asked for it, and being part of that, it's just been an amazing experience, and my participation has been on more levels than I could ever imagine.
Well, I mean, that was actually going to lead into one of the questions that we had. I'm not going to ask you how does it feel to be a legend. that's just in there to make Ben and I feel bad. So you know,
his presence is palpable.
The heck with that, gosh darn it. I'm not going to ask that question. But we have a question. How much involvement do you have in creating the new My League and My Gym features, and whether you come up with a lot of the ideas yourself? And obviously you do. You have the large hand in being able to not just program, but also, you know, create.
Yeah.
From a very, obviously, if you're programming, you are doing some creative work, but to actually design and throw out ideas, not just take someone else's ideas and make them a reality, but make yours a reality too.
I think it's a big part. It is definitely a big part, but an even bigger part of that is the community, because for example, you know, the training feature that was introduced last year into My Gym and My League has been a long-standing feature, a wishlist item of mine that I really wanted to see go into the game. And last year, you know, it was the first year of training where you could actually select a specific player type and develop players towards any direction that you wanted. This year, every attribute has its own slider, so you can really go granular about specifically which skills you want the players on your team to develop, especially with young players, you know, that are easier to mold and everything. So that is a feature that went in that I'm immensely proud of, and that I can say, you know, was one of the ideas that I've had for years and that I hadn't seen mentioned in the community. But as I said, you know, on the post-game podcast as well, we have this list called the Blue Sky List, which contains ideas that we amass over the years. And so much of it comes from the community, from community wish lists, that, you know, it's just, it's amazing how much we get to do in a year. I think, like, relocation, for example, was one of the things that people had been begging for. And, you know, design your own uniform, design your own arena have been long-standing community wishlist items that finally came into fruition this year. And I think that showed. I think that showed in the reaction of the community when they were fully announced, and the level of customizability that they offer you and the kind of experience that they offer you was fully detailed by Eric Bennett. So I mean,
I know the customization is something that Ben's talked about in previous podcasts, and so we were both quite happy to see that.
I know it's amazing, you know, to see so many of the ideas that you have come into fruition, but also, you know, be able to see so many people be happy when you finally announce the feature set of My League and My Gym that you've been working a full year on, you know, and see so many items, you know, checked off their wish lists, you know. Oh, okay, I guess we have to come up with all new stuff for 2K17. It's a really nice thing to see that, to see that reflected in the community's response. So the community, I think, plays a much bigger part than it realizes, but I think we've made a good point of proving that we are listening all the time.
No, and it's always encouraging to hear that, because there is that cynicism among gamers. Are they actually paying attention? Are they doing doing their own thing or whatever? So it always is great to hear. You mentioned you did the interview with the post-game podcast, which is a show that I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and a very surreal experience to actually do a podcast in the same room as people instead of over Skype.
No.
Which was
continents?
Across continents, yeah. Spanning three countries with the representation on that podcast. But you did a great interview with the post-game podcast. Try not to overlap, because you did explain the modes in detail. We ran them down on episode 126 as well, when we covered the developer diary. For those who don't know, MyGM is the RPG style mode. I think you put it, is that the way you put it before Left Those?
It's our campaign, essentially.
Yeah, whereas My League is
the sandbox mode.
And of course, now you've got My League Online, which is the kind of a single season experience that you can play multiple times and reset. And if everyone wants to get in and play with the same teams and with the trades that have already happened, etc. It's basically bringing My League Online for the first time.
Right.
And I guess, you know, this is bringing us to the bulk of the interview now. I know you've covered it before, but for those who are still kind of unaware why you have those three different modes, or at least the two different modes, My League and My GM, and say, what's the difference of having two franchise modes? In a nutshell, Well, why?
I know why,
and I'm glad you do.
Sure. I think 2K14, I introduced Mydium as the cultivation, as the result of Eric's passion, Eric Bennis's passion, and want to make a whole new franchise experience that was way more engaging in levels that other franchises hadn't done before, in that, you know, it introduced the player and staff conversations, it introduced the owner goals, it introduced another level of involvement with the user. It wasn't just spreadsheets anymore, it was all these relationships that you had to balance with your player and your staff and your owner. It was, you know, much more interactive experience, as in, you know, you were sitting face to face with the players you were negotiating with. They were coming back to you and they had opinions on everything that you did, on every offer that you made to them. It was essentially a campaign, you know, for those that struggled to set their own goals, because we all, you know, some of us are more creative than others. Some people have written amazing association stories where, you know, they have set up their own goals for them, their own stories for themselves. And that's great, you know. I did that too. That was the reason I created NBA Stats Tracker in part two, you know, to give myself more ways to interact with the game and give and have goals for myself. But Mydium kind of alleviated that because it gave me concrete goals in my interactions with the owner. Now, because that was the main focus on 2K14 in the transition to, you know, the current generation of consoles, to bring a whole new experience to franchise modes, the traditional association, as it was, experience took kind of a backseat and didn't make it in time for 2K14. So it was brought back, and we were determined to not just bring back association, but to do enough things to warrant bringing it back with a splash. And that's why we added all the mode customization sliders from injury frequency to the trade difficulty, to how high the hard cap is, and even if you want to have a hard cap on your league, you know, be able to give users a more sandboxy and customizable experience than ever. So, you know, whereas Mydium, you're only controlling one team, and, you know, you're limited in the things you can do. You can do a shortened season because a lot of the goals are driven by the fact that, you know, the season is 82 games long. You don't get the sliders, but that more, you know, confined experience allows us to do all this interaction. And people have been asking, you know, for Mydium to get the sliders that my league has, but that's a very hard task. That's very hard to do because the users can do really crazy things with my league. You know, they can assign players move players from team to team with no warning, without respecting any of the league's rules. You know, they can adjust the sliders where players are being generated with crazy numbers or with crazy low numbers. So there's a certain set of rules and expectations that Mydium uses to set up the campaign, and that would not be as easy to maintain with the customizability that my league offers. But the fact that
just interject for a moment. I imagine, especially that because Mydium utilizes VC, that people could really farm VC and really game the system if they could put sliders into that mode and basically.
Yeah. I mean, of course, that is another reason. But even the effect of VC has been severely limited over the years. After the feedback we got in 2K14, you know, we decided that the franchise experience is not the core where VC should be an interaction measure in the game. So then, you know, in my DM right now, the only thing you can spend VC on is, you know, to buy a persuasive pitch if you really want to force that player to sign with you, or, you know, get that trade to happen, or if you want to get that level and get that MyDM ability earlier, or if you want to buy the team and not have to deal with your owner anymore, you know, you can spend VC on that. But everything else is, you know, is an experience that you can enjoy from the first day you get the game on your hands with zero VC in your wallet. But the fact that these two modes are separate allows us to not limit ourselves to what we do in each of the two modes. So in my GM, we don't have to limit ourselves to how innovative we can be with how far we add elements to it, because we don't have to worry about, oh, but what if the user has set trade difficulty to zero? That would be too easy to complete. Or what if the user is generating, you know, 20 players with 99 ratings every year? That would really break all these goals that talk about how important the number one pick is. You know, so we don't have to worry about that stuff. So that allows us to really add more elements to the mode, campaign elements, without having to worry about all the other parts. And then in my league, because we don't have to worry about everything making sense and abiding by the NBA rules, we can add more and more customizability, make it more and more of a sandbox. Hence, you know, this year you can set the salary cap as well. You can determine the inflation rate, so you can determine if you want the salary cap to grow every year by a lot and have every free agency be an exciting new experience where players will be fighting for bigger and bigger contracts. Or if you want, you know, a more realistic slow down experience, and something that hasn't been, you know, mentioned this year so far is that in my league and my GM, Eric mentioned that in year two, the salary cap will go to what it is projected to go next year. So the very first free agency you're going to come across is going to be really interesting, as the salary cap will have gone up by almost 25 million. Which is ridiculous when you think about it. But yeah. but once every few years, you'll see the salary cap go up by that amount, because, you know, there's going to be years where a new TV deal will be negotiated, and you'll see the salary cap going up, you know, a couple of million to going up 10 million or even more. And that will trigger, you know, a way more interesting free agency, as you're trying to, you know, maintain your level under the salary cap, but also, you know, negotiate with players that expect to make a lot more money if they become free agents at exactly the right year. So, you know, the answer to why is pretty much we want to be able to develop both modes separately without the limitation that each one imposes affecting the other. So the realism that my GM tries to maintain and all the stuff that we expect to work like they do in the real NBA, we don't want that to limit all the customization that my league offers. And in reverse, the customization and the crazy things users can do with my league being a total sandbox should not prevent us from adding new ways to interact with your players and stuff and your owner in my GM.
No, absolutely the right way to go. I'm very glad you do have the two modes. I had my misgivings about my GM in 2K14, although I loved all the detail, having been locked into certain aspects and really wanting those sandbox features. So, you know, I was really glad to see that last year, and to see that both modes are getting the attention is fantastic. Before I get into some other questions from the community, you talked about the realism and in my league and all the things you can change. So realism in my GM and all the things you can change in my mm-hmm. league. I'm guessing the default settings for my league, because, you know, when people fired it up in 2K15, it'll probably be the same in 2K16. You see all these options that you can change, and it might be a bit overwhelming for some people.
It is overwhelming for us every time, you know.
Yeah.
We're trying to find that one option that we want to change and test on this run. We have to scroll through 25 options. You know, we've had these discussions where it's like, are we offering too many options? And people would always go, no, what are you talking about?
Well, but yeah, I agree.
That my settings menu is overwhelming right now with the amount of options it has.
But I'm of the school of thought that more options are better, because if you don't want to change anything, you can just simply ignore it. It's much better to have the option and ignore it than not have the option and want it. But with the default settings, I imagine that they are geared mostly for realism, and that you've basically set it up so people can have a pretty good realistic experience out of the box. Or, well, that seems like an antiquated thing to say now with the digital downloads and everything. But, I mean, is that something that you've also looked at, balancing those initial settings, so that people can just pick it up and play My League and maybe tinker with a few things, but they don't have to worry about injury sliders and things if they really don't want to?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Our goal every year is to make sure that the 50 on every slider, you know, the middle setting is the perfect setting according to us, because that's pretty much what you see at 15 mile league is exactly the same setting that my DM uses, you know. But it's always interesting to see all those threads come up where users say, oh, I think progression rate is best served at 46 or at 42 because I think players progress too fast, and that allows you, you know, along with the in-season training effectiveness slider being at 55, I think that creates the perfect progression. And that's, you know, that's always interesting to hear, because we tune around making the 50 perfect, but maybe, you know, tuning this one up and this one down gives you an even better experience. So then next year we can reevaluate and say, okay, that last year's 42 will be this year's 50 because it makes sense.
Okay.
Because, you know, that actually provides a better out of the box or out of the digital download experience.
Out of the cloud.
Yes, out of the cloud experience. But the point of the matter is, because users see sliders and immediately will move the 50 to a 49 and we see the world change around them in radical ways. Because, you know, we've all been there, you know, oh, this slider absolutely shouldn't be at 50. 49 is the perfect value, just like overall rating fights. Like, 93,
oh, yes,
scarily
yes.
At max at 92. I would never give him a 93. I don't know what you're thinking of. But
pre-order canceled.
Yes, exactly. So many canceled pre-orders. But the point was, because we understand the community's urge to share those sliders with others, and because, you know, we never think that we're going to be perfect. We strive for it, but it would be delusional to think that you're ever going to be perfect, and that you ever...
You can't account for people's gaming
exactly.
style.
That,
as well.
That was the next thing. The next point I was going to make is that you can't be able to expect that your 50 is going to be everyone's expected experience and the experience they want, which is why it was important to us to make as many parts of the game customizable and tunable by the user, so they can cater the experience, the My League experience at least, to the experience they want. That's why, you know, if you don't want to have to fight with financial trade rules, you can turn them off. You can turn trade logic off altogether and just move players between teams, you know, assigning and removing them with no rules applying whatsoever. But if you like the experience and you think, you know, oh, I think the CPU is just being too stingy on trades with me, you can just lower the trade difficulty slider. And this year, we felt it was important. It was easier for users to share those perfect, quote-unquote, experience that each one creates with the community, which is why we brought back slider sharing through, you know, what used to be called 2Kser, you know, being able to upload your gameplay, My League, and training sliders, and having them be shared with other users, as well as you getting, you know, 10 local profiles that you can keep around and experiment with while you're trying to find the perfect set.
And that's really good news, because it saves, I mean, it's stating the obvious, but it's saving so much time for not having to, you know, put a slider set out, you know, these are all the values, go change them, to actually be able to immediately download them and apply them to the game. And I think it's going to make people want to use sliders, because there are some people that say, oh, I don't want to use sliders, which kind of puzzles me, that if you can make a few changes to make the game better for yourself, why not?
The problem isn't that they don't want to change a few sliders. The problem is that you go on the slider thread, and it has 45 sliders listed, you know? And it's like,
that's true,
with range,
yeah,
with values ranging all the way from 0 to 100. Like, I can't change all that. That will take too much time. And then, you know, if you change all those 45 sliders and you decide that you don't want, that you want to go back, in previous years, you'd have to change them all back. There was no way, you know, you'd have to bookmark those threads and bookmark those values and, you know, keep changing 50 sliders at a time until you find the perfect set. It was really annoying to me as well, you know, to have to go through that experience, as much as I love experimenting with slider sets, which is why, you know, I made such of a point of bringing back saving and certain slider sets this year, because, you know, the more customizability we offer, the more intimidating those threads can become. So the easier we can make it for users to just share what they believe are the perfect tuning settings, and serve them with other users that can just click a button, click on that slider set, you know, and download it and have all the settings applied in seconds, you know, the easier the better.
No, I absolutely agree. And it's great to see you guys thinking about those things and looking at the feedback again, as you said, looking at areas where the community has complained or said this could be better and actually putting it into practice. And of course, you guys have a pretty good grip of that as too, knowing the game inside and out as you obviously do. You mentioned the developer diary, which was a huge info dump, which came out just after we finished recording a podcast. So that's always the way with us.
At least you guys are keeping the tradition going.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean that's the important thing, I suppose. There was just so much to really digest. You couldn't really... I mean, I tried to do a bit of a summary in my news post about it as good as I could with a few bullet points. And again, on the episode number 126, again, I don't want to do too much overlap with the post-game podcast. Again, something that I would encourage everyone to listen to because that was a great interview. Even if you did say that was your podcast of choice, of course. that stung a little bit. I realized you got to, you know, whenever you're in the... You got to appeal to the home crowd.
You know what? I did 37 episodes, so I think people that have been familiar with my work on the NLSC podcast, you know, given how much I pestered you to even get it off the ground, I think they know, you know.
Fair call.
You know
fair
where
call.
My preferences lie.
But I mean, that was a great show. You gave dropped a lot of information on that. Eric's the developer diary was just huge. Yeah. Great reaction to that, of course. And covered not just the major points, but also there was a list of little things at the end, and the little things really do make modes like this. But to that end, we do have a lot of questions from the community that people wanting clarification on this or that. So one of the reasons that we've got you on here is not just to talk about our mothers and other things that we've talked about in the show so far, but also to get some clarification and insight into the modes. Ben, I know you've got some questions as well. I've been hogging the mic, so I thought I'd throw it over to you to ask a couple of the questions that you had before I start asking some of the ones that I've got written down here.
Okay. Well, I was sort of having a look through them and that before, and I think there's only really one that would of all that would be suitable for in regards to my league and my GM. One is in regards to Pro-Am, which is not what we're discussing, and although the second one is...
Can we edit the armpit hair?
Yeah. We... Okay. One of them is, aside from... this is from the X, by the way, which is... aside from my extrapolated stats...
Oh.
Sorry.
Extrapolated.
That's the word. Okay. That's the first time... That's the first time I've ever seen it written down. So, so putting it to a thing that, yeah, it just took me a minute to sort of go, what the hell word is that? Okay. me fail English? That's impossible. okay. Aside from the extrapolated stats. There we go. Extrapolated. There we go.
It's those Queensland school systems, man. You know, it's not like New South Wales.
Political commentary. You get everything on the NLC podcast.
Yep.
Shots fired.
Aside from falling asleep, hear me struggle with my own damn words.
Okay. Never forget.
Hashtag never forget.
Hashtag need a bottle of booze. Will new draft off seasons blow my socks off is what's been asked.
Yes, off-season has been kind of a thorn in our side in that it has been there and it has worked, and maybe the menu has been reskinned a couple of times, but we really wanted to make it a focus this year, and I think a lot of the stuff that Eric mentions in his diary put a focus on, the things that we worked on for the revamped off-season. Starting from the draft lottery, there's a you know, it's really nice to go through the lottery, and there's always has been the suspense, but last year all there was to the suspense was, you know, the reverse revealing of the teams. This year, you know, we have little tidbits coming up and trivia coming up about the teams as you go along. You know, oh, this is the franchise's first ever number one draft pick, or, you know, this is the fifth consecutive time that this team has been in the lottery. So you get to know little trivia tidbits about the teams as you go along through the draft lottery, and you know which teams you're dealing with, and as you go through the mode, as you're playing, you know, multiple years in in My League and My DM, you'll see your own accomplishments be mentioned in the lottery. You know, I don't want to spoil all the lines that that are added in there, but you know, you might see your last year first round pick be mentioned, you know, as a significant fact about your team, you know. And it's interesting how that will make you feel, you know. Did you draft that draft class is dark or militant, or you know, or did you actually draft the next LeBron? It's really interesting, you know, to see how users will react to their team being mentioned. And I think then it follows with a draft where the presentation has been revamped to allow, you know, for to make it fresh, to not have it be the same thing as been year after year with, you know, the animated avatar of the commissioner announcing the picks in a slow pace. This year, we've tried to pick up the pace to make the draft less, you know, repetitive and to make it, you know, faster to go through. You can easily skip up to your team's next pick if you want to. We've streamlined the offers, the trade offers that you get. So if your team is picking next and other teams have trade offers for you, you no longer have to go through 20 dialogues. You know, it's like this trade, negotiate, decline again 15 times because 15 teams are interested in negotiating with you for your draft pick. This year, we've streamlined it, so you'll get one dialogue saying you have this many offers. Do you want to view them? Yes, no. And if you click yes, we have we're using the interface that TradeFinder has to give you, you know, to allow you to trigger through all the trade offers and decide if any of them look interesting to you. And it's a much more detailed interface too, rather than the information that the dialogue offered. So so I think the draft has been has been revamped in a very nice way this year. You'll even see, you know, social media messages about and reactions from the fans about the top picks of the draft. So it's a fresh experience. Bugs of the past regarding, you know, who CPU teams would pick, and all the weirdness about, you know, the draft logic is gone. So we're really confident about, you know, the draft experience this year. Then we have, you know, whole new, completely new experiences, not just revamped stuff. So the staff carousel this year, the new staff signing period, which is a completely built from the ground up, allowing you know, different staff members will have different aspirations. So you'll see scouts fight for front office positions, or other scouts aspire to be head coaches, or other scouts, you know, like Andrew mentioned in the last episode, other scouts just being fine being scouts, you know, they don't have the acumen or the guts to become head coaches. So you'll see teams trying to poach your assistant to make them their head coach, or to poach your assistant GM to make them their GM. You see all this. There's an excitement. There's a game to it. As coaches now go through a proper free agency, just like players do. So you'll see, you know, the most popular coaches get, you know, 6, 8, 10 offers on the first day. And you're like, why am I not making an offer? Do they see something in that coach that I'm not seeing? And how high of an offer do I have to make to get him to sign with me? You might see, you know, coaches that you've wanted for a really long time, or other staff members, you know, a really good scout be on that other team staff, and you have to get their permission to talk to that staff member, or wait, or keep an eye on their contract, see when they're bound to become free agents, and you know, make an early offer in the staff free agency. So it's a whole new experience, and it's really we've tried to emphasize, you know, the effects of staff both in the game and to make the staff signing experience fun, rather than, you know, how it's been in years past, where you just pick the staff member out of a list. Most probably, you know, the maximum money you could afford. Yeah, the only thing that the staff member asks you is, oh, you want to sign me? Great. How many years do I get? It's like 2. Oh, great. Thank you for offering me 2 years. I'll sign with your team. You know, that experience was there, and you could sign specific staff members, and it was cool to see, you know, Ray Allen retire and become an assistant coach, and you hire him as your coach. But it wasn't really what it was supposed to be. And we really feel that with Staff Carousel this year, we have something new. And the other two experiences, sorry, Andrew, I'm going to just mention them in passing. And then if you want to go deeper into any of the two, we can.
Sure.
The other two experiences that I'm really excited for is the Summer League and the 2K Hoop Summit, where, as you said in the on the last podcast, is a first opportunity to look at the prospects of the upcoming draft class. Be it, you know, an auto-generated one or an imported one, whatever it is, and to give you an idea on which prospects you might want to spend your time scouting and which might not be worth your time. You know, you get a first look at a prospect that seems like he might be a great three-point specialist, and, you know, you might know that that's the prospect you want to have your scout spend his time, his scouting trips focusing on over the next year. But then, you know, the... of course, the prospect stories make a return, so you never know when a prospect might sign the Hoop Summit and then just flop when it comes time for the college championship. So there's a lot went into the off-season experience. It was a focus that Eric Bennis made a point to make a focus for the whole franchise team, both those of us on the back end as well as those of us on the front end, and make it a new exciting experience. Whether it will blow your socks off, well, I would say get some reliable socks that tend to stay on your feet, because it is a very nice experience.
And I'll put my neck out there and go ahead and say that, you know, I didn't work on the modes and stuff, but having experienced it, yes, I concur.
Great.
Okay. In regards to, because I didn't want to interrupt as, you know, you're explaining that. So will there be like a tendency for teams, say like the New York Knicks, if with the draft and that and players that they sign, that with the social media stuff, that you'll see them going asking questions of who the hell is this, what a terrible pick kind of thing? Is there that kind of logic scripted into it?
I don't think, you know, such a thing would be really allowed. But that said, you know, talking about the team building logic, yes, teams in bigger markets like the Knicks will, just like they do in real life, this year go more after free agency than they'll go through the draft. You know, they're a big market team. They can attract the big name free agents. They know that their goal should be to clear the cap space needed if they decide that, you know, we need to get that one player that's going to lead us to stardom. Sorry, Carmelo. You know, they know that they have the capacity to go through free agency to get that one player, other than to, you know, spend their time trading for draft picks. Which is an awesome thing to see. It's another level to the team building logic that went in this year that was really awesome to experience.
Which is definitely one of the other things that I really liked hearing, and also hearing that there's multi-year plans, because in previous modes, it was kind of like teams had a vision and you just might try to trade with someone and they didn't want to trade away their best player because they were a contending team or something like that, and they had a direction. But to actually have multi-year plans, like you look at what the Sixers are doing at the moment with the stockpiling the picks, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, to actually have that kind of different, and we're going to see that as well with the different teams having different approaches.
Absolutely. There's two things that go into that. Actually, three things. The one I've already mentioned is that, you know, teams in smaller markets will realize that they're not going to have that big of an appeal to big name free agents, so they're going to be more likely to value picks higher than other teams that that think that, you know, picks are not that important to them when they can be using their cap space to attract big name free agents. The other thing that goes into it is the team states that have a very pronounced effect this year, in that, you know, teams will decide, okay, we're contending, or we're one core player away from being up there with all the rest of them, or we're in rebuilding mode, we need that one or two core players that we can build our team around, those young guys that we know have high potential that can progress to be superstars one day, that we'll strive to keep on the team. I'm looking at you, Pistons, and Andrew Drummond. there's only that many years on a team option for a rookie contract, okay? It's 2 years. After that, you have to actually keep the player on the team. He's not forced to stay on the team. So I hope the Pistons realize that. So, sorry. So, yeah, Team States have a pronounced effect this year, and you'll see them being played. You'll see them be exposed through what we call the Team Intel screen. You'll see teams target specific players. Other players will become untouchable, so they'll never let you approach them. You'll see... The other thing that goes, you'll talk to other GMs, right? And you'll see, you'll get feedback this year. There's no the dialogue that said, "Oh, the 76ers have declined your trade offer. Here's their counter offer." You know, that's the dialogue that everyone would see when making a trade in previous games. This year, we've made it a very high focus to expose the logic that goes on behind the scenes and explain to the user why that trade doesn't fly with that team. So you'll see teams that have built a roster that is great and that is clearly making a run at the championship, you'll see those teams be much less inclined to break up their roster if they're not getting a big return on what they're giving away. You'll see teams that are in the selling state be much more likely to want to, you know, to clear up cap space. So they'll be very accepting to big expiring contracts. You know, there's a lot of logic going on behind the scenes, and
yeah. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say it sounds like you basically, whether you're talking about the teams or the players or the staff, that you, it's really about giving all these virtual entities, these virtual characters and people, a brain, so that they're thinking and making decisions.
Not just that. I mean, it's not like trades in the past have been a dice roll, but this year a big focus for us was a lot of it's more logic. And not just that, a lot of it we were feeling was getting lost in translation. That a lot of people were, you know, seeing the moves in the context of the current league, when they've had spent, you know, 6 months going into MIGM, rosters have changed, trades have happened, teams are thinking completely differently. And part of that, not so pronounced, was happening in 2K15, but there was nothing to communicate that to the user, you know? Everything felt binary. Everything either went through or didn't go through, and there was no explanation.
Had to guess, yes, kind of why, yes, a trade didn't.
There was, yeah, no explanation, there was no context. So we made, as major of a point it was, to make our logic much better, and the amount of times we've gotten together to look at a spreadsheet that was generated over a single trade that explained every item of the trade, how each team was evaluating it, why they thought that that trade was good or wasn't good. You know, the amount of hours we have spent just looking and tuning and tweaking every part of the team building logic has been immense. It has been, you know, a very educational experience for me as well. You know, coming in thinking that I know the NBA, and then talking very passionately, and even fighting in a friendly way with Eric and Tim and Dave over, you know, how teams should think, and then going to, you know, the other passionate basketball guys in the office and asking them, you know, what do you think about this trade? Would the GM of this team ever do this trade? Would this team in this state ever do this trade? And getting feedback from all angles. So we wanted, as much as we want to improve the logic, we want to also expose it so that it's clear to the users when something is happening, why that is happening. Why is the team more accepting to a huge contract that seems like a very bad deal to me? Oh, because it's expiring, because they're a selling team, so they're looking to get that cap space. Or why is the team giving that high of a value to that player? Or because... And the other part that hasn't really been emphasized is that this year we've added something to the staff members called team style. So you'll see staff members have certain preferences over the kinds of players that they like. You know, so players have all these kind of calculated attributes that aren't exposed to the user that give them that. Determine their score in a certain style, and then each staff member of the team will have their own style. Each coach, each head coach in our game, each assistant coach, even scouts and GMs have their own team style, and that will affect each team in that, you know, a GM head coach combo that really likes players that are a certain way that are slashers might, you know, value a slasher higher than other teams would do. You know, coaches actually try to get players that fit their style as much as, you know, having it make sense in a team building logic. You know, it's also the roster, it's also your lineup, it's also the skill set that your team has, and it's also the preferences of its head coach and its GM. So you'll see, you know, maybe you'll see a team undergo a major change of staff in an off season a few years down the road. You know, that long running coach left to get a new challenge, and then a new coach with a completely different philosophy joins the team, and suddenly trade negotiations feel completely different as the coach has completely different priorities on what kind of players he wants to build his roster around. So it's
an evolving experience. Yes. Then that it's as you go through the years, the as you mentioned before, having the multi-year goals and the multi-year plans, but also how that can change on the fly. If something does change, just as in real life, a team can change direction quite abruptly.
Yep, it is. That is true, you know. And yeah, hopefully you'll see more of, you know, teams going from the Joe Dumars direction to the Stan Van Gundy direction. But, you know, things have happened. Certain people that shall not be named have given up great things to get people like Joe Smith and Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva on certain teams that shall not be named. But, you know, some things will be better than others. And that's the same point I was trying to make about owner goals. You know, I've gotten feedback on owner goals saying, you know, oh, my owner is crazy. Why is he even asking that? And I would say, you know, have you ever interacted with any of them? You know, have you not seen how crazy certain GMs and owners are and how unrealistic their expectations are or how much they mismanage their teams? You know, so it is more of a challenge, you know, to join a team that has an owner that has a certain personality. Well,
if you can, I'm not sure if you're able to touch on it, but obviously we do see that in real life, and you are programming this logic into the game. How closely can you follow real life? I mean, I'm guessing the NBA is probably not going to be that happy. Obviously, you can't use real owner names, but I mean, how do you sort of account for that being realistic, like the Knicks, without sort of basically saying we think that Dolan is this or that? You know.
So I mean, if you look through, you know, the owners that are the defaults in the game, some care has gone into designing them, you know, their priorities and their wishes. So depending on how well you know your team, some owner goals might, you know, bring a bit close to home. You know, feel like they're quite realistic for what, you know, the owners and GMs that run the team and the front office of that team acts like in real life. But that said, because we've made a point of, you know, in previous years, the owner goals you got, you know, might have felt like they were always the same. And we made a point in 2K15 and now even more in 2K16. In 2K15, we made sure that you always got an abundance of owner goals rather than be very strict over which owner goals you got and having them be the same three goals if you chose the same team every time. So then in 2K15, we made sure that, you know, you got the plethora of owner goals. And in 2K16, we've added the ability to randomize an owner's personality. So when you're selecting a team in my GM, if you think that, oh, I like the Knicks and I want to start again in season one, but I want a fresh experience, you know, I want a completely different owner. So when you're on the team select screen, press Y or triangle on your controller, and you're going to get a completely new owner with completely new aspirations and wants and priorities and a completely new biography explaining what he's, you know, what he's like in a completely fresh My GM experience, you know, having to deal with that owner, even though you're still playing with your favorite team. So there's been, you know.
If only we could do that.
Yeah,
in real life.
I know, right? Press Y on my controller. New Pistons owner. Nope, don't like that either. New owner. You know, just keep pressing that button until you hit the great owner that you want. So,
but that doesn't work though, because I tried that. I was like, okay, well, they've added something here, and I'm obviously going to take advantage of this. And then it just turns out that the next season, I got a new owner for the team. So, that of course could not hit such a button to change my experience.
Yeah.
But
no.
Even still, I mean, if you try to, you know, do that, you'll find out that the way these owners are rated trying to get something that you think is beneficial to you to make things easier is going to take away from other aspects.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I agree. And yeah, and the feature of owners selling the team and getting a new owner in the new season and everything you've built up to, you know, your whole rapport with the previous owner and all the owner hooks you completed, you know, where you had to fight him on certain things that he wanted to do and you begrudgingly accepted to do them even though you didn't want to, and then you get a new owner and he's even more strict. You know, it's what happens though. It's a constant fight between, you know, wanting to be realistic, but then people tend to forget when they see something that appears, you know, dumb to them in the game. They tend to forget that some of it happens in real life, and that's not an excuse. Like, we've tried to make our team building logic as smart as possible, but then some owners will be easier to deal with than others. Some owners will have much more unrealistic goals than others, and others might be, you know, more conservative and give you goals that feel realistic, while some GMs might be really bad at trade negotiations and might be, you know, giving up players for nothing and, you know, letting you take advantage of them. Obviously, you know, if a team ends up getting a GM like that, soon the team will not get the success they need and it will be time for a change, you know, for a change of scenery. So you might not see that GM last that long on that specific team. But it's not just about making things smarter. It's about replicating parts of real life that are not always perfect. You know, if everything was smart, if I was to go by, you know, all the smart people that peruse the NLSC and the operations sports forums and complain about every trade and every signing possible, well, I'm really looking to reading your diatribe on the Pistons moves in the last 10 years. And see what you think, you know, has been the, you know, how realistic, as that word gets thrown around a lot, you know, how realistic,
yes,
and how great the moves that the Pistons have made since the 04 championship and where that has gotten them. You know, it's, again, not an excuse to say that our team building logic is subpar. We've done everything possible in the 9-month cycle that we have to make team building logic better than ever. And I've gone into a lot of detail over, you know, the parts that comprise this year's improvements to the team building logic. But not everything is going to be perfect because not everything is. Some trades will, you know, be easier to make than others. And you'll deal with GMs and coaches that have completely different team styles, and suddenly the same player will be valued differently. And you'll deal with all kinds of owners, some of which you might agree with and some of which you might end up being in the brink of being fired from the team of your dreams because of, you know, how conflicting your wants are with your owner's wants. But that's just part of the experience. And I feel it's, you know, of the immersiveness that we try to create with our franchise modes. We don't want them to be spreadsheet simulators, which you can of course do by going into My League and just turning everything off. We want it to be immersive and engaging, and I think we've really accomplished that this year more than ever.
It's an interesting point you bring up about realism, and I think it's as we, I mean, you've been a part of the community, and that's what we always say, especially in the Sim Nation. Shout out to Nazar. You know, we want realism. We want it to be realistic. A lot of people, I don't think, really appreciate what realism means, and realism sometimes means undesirable, yep, results and mistakes and imperfection. And obviously, we can't talk about gameplay, but whether you're talking about, you know, why did I run this play to perfection, yet still miss the shot? That sometimes happens. You can do everything right, but it won't work out. And as it goes with the franchise modes as well, sometimes teams will make a mistake. Sometimes you as the user will make a mistake. And that's just kind of the way it is, that there should be some imperfections.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're obviously accounting with this. Like an onion, your logic has many layers, obviously. But before we get too far away from that, you mentioned the coaching, the staff carousel. And the different, obviously, once again, you mentioned that not all people have the same aspirations. There will be scouts that just want to remain scouts. Some people won't want to jump ship and everything. What kind of attributes factor into whether players want to become coaches or coaches want to move up the ranks or anything? And is it editable, I should say, because some people do might want to force a certain player to become a coach, for example, if that's what they want in their My League. Can they do that? And what kind of attributes are both go into it from behind the scenes, and also what can we change from the front
end
as well.
The main point about, you know, about a player becoming a coach is mostly their success in the past, right? So we want to make sure that that players that have had long and successful careers, be it their real life players, you know. We want to make sure that the names that you see in the coaching pool are those that have been the most successful over the years. So we use something we call the Hall of Fame rating, which is a measure of championships and wins and their career stats over the years, to calculate who is going to make it to be generated as a coach. Now, there's no attribute that directly allows you to make someone a coach, or and there's no option to force a player to become a coach. That said, though, it is a great idea. It is something to consider for the future. And I've said that, like, I've seen so many great ideas already come from the community on things that have started being discussed in forums, you know, and the blue sky list is already growing day by the day in to scary proportions. But there's no direct thing that you can edit. You can, but you can be relatively sure that the players that have had the most successful careers will show up as free agent coaches after they retire, waiting to be picked up as an assistant coach or even as a head coach, and maybe one day, you know, make it to a front office. Like, you know, the story that Eric mentioned where Ray Allen made it from the assistant coach to the head coach ranks to one day being a GM that Eric had to negotiate with and, you know, make trades with, which makes it, you know, the new staff carousel contributes to that and makes it for a much more engaging experience. And this year, for the first time, we've added edit staff, edit coach. So you can edit a coach's attributes, you know, offense, defense, training, scouting, all the parts of the staff members. And it's important that we've exposed all those attributes for every staff member, because you never know when a scout might decide to use his, you know, his business acumen to become a GM, or his coaching acumen, if he has any, to become an assistant coach or a head coach. Also, in edit staff, you'll be able to edit its staff members' team style. So if you think that a head coach should be focusing more on players of a certain type, you can go ahead and do that. And that will allow you to make, you know, negotiations, make the team value players in negotiations and free agency a different way based on the style of that player. You won't be able to edit their aspirations directly. That thing is still kept behind the scenes for this year. But we always, you know, my league has shown how much it grows in customizability from year to year. So if people end up, you know, really being engaged by the staff carousel and enjoying that feature and wanting more customizability, I have no doubt that we'll be offering that customizability in the future.
No, I mean, that's great to hear, because people have been wondering about that. So if there is any way that can be in the game in future years, I think people would certainly enjoy
but,
it.
But,
so,
you know, if you feel like, you know, we've not rated your favorite coach highly enough, and that he's, you know, his effects on your team's offensive performances and how well they're training over the years are underpowered or overpowered, this year you have the ability to go in, edit that coach, adjust his offensive training and defensive training, and, you know, and a scout scouting performance and a trainer's training performance. You know, you have the ability to go and do that for the first year this year.
So I'm just like taking a look at some of the other questions we have written down, because through the course of the conversation, we've probably answered quite a few questions that we had. Maybe switch things up a little bit, talking about My League Online. Which is new, as I mentioned, kind of the single, I don't want to misrepresent it, of course, but something of a single season mode that's you can play multiple years of. and restart the league each for subsequent seasons with the trades mm-hmm. that you've made.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing that that unfortunately didn't carry through in the first developer diary, and that Eric was quick to to clarify, people felt that we were offering an experience similar to online leagues in 2K14 and 2K15, but that is simply not true, because this year our goal was, the directive from the start of the 2K16 design season was that we're taking over, the franchise team is taking over, the online franchise experience. We're going to rebuild it from the ground up so that it's based on, the great my offline My League experience that we have. We're going to build a foundation that will allow us to start bringing features over, features that, that users love to use. And that will give us, a lot of free stuff, a lot of free foundation, because it is part of the core offline franchise. So, for example, things that were not a given, like having all the stat tracking menus, including this year's addition of per 100 possession stats, rebounds per 100 possessions and points per 100 possessions and assists per 100 possessions, or even the new defensive stats like defensive field goal percentage and defensive three-point percentage. All those stats track naturally because it is My League. At the core, it is My League. It is just an experience that has been adjusted to work in synchronizing the actions of 30 users in a league. With flex scheduling, so you and I can be playing a game in April, while John and Ben might be playing a game in December, and it doesn't matter, right? It has completely, it doesn't matter at all, because the rosters are what they are when you go into a game or when you decide to simulate or simcast a game. And then when you're done playing, the user-involved games or simulating the games that you're not interested in, you can then simulate the rest of the season and start the playoffs, and face off against each other until the champion is crowned. And when you're done with that, you reset the season. All the rosters are maintained, your signings and your waivers and your trades, everything is maintained, and you start anew in a brand new season. As you mentioned in the last podcast, that includes custom rosters. It includes the customized league feature, which means you can bring in EuroLeague and historic teams into your online league. So if you want to do, Western Conference, all EuroLeague teams, Eastern Conference, all historic teams, more power to you. You can do that. And to add to that, why not take those 30 weird teams and put them in a fantasy draft? So, the stars of the EuroLeague are in the same pool as, Magic Johnson and Allen Iverson and Isaiah Thomas. You can do so many things and create the custom league that you want.
The sandbox elements,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, yes. The sliders that make sense, given the feature set of My League Online, have carried over from My League Offline. And of course, the teams that are not user-controlled will be controlled by the CPU, but nothing happens automatically. CPU games will not be simulated automatically after a certain window. The admin or the admins get full say over which CPU games can be simulated. Games that you have against the CPU, you can either play on the sticks, you can simulate them, you can use Simcast as it was introduced in 2K15, or use the brand new Simcast Live, which offers the 2D experience with the players going around on the floor and giving you a coach mode experience where you can call plays, make substitutions, adjust your matchups, set your POEs, do everything you would do in gameplay but in an accelerated fashion. And with a 2D perspective that shows you, the whole floor at all times. So, yeah,
very
so
cool,
you can
yeah.
experience, your CPU games while your friends aren't around. You can experience them however you want. And while your friends are around, you can, of course, play the games against each other. If one of you has to quit, the admin has the power to reset the game so that, the forfeit is gone. The result doesn't count anymore. You can play the game again. The admins have the power to determine the winner in the game. So, you know, if you feel someone has cheated you, you can kick them out of the league, and then the admin can decide to award you the game by just simulating.
Oh, so users can be kicked if they're meddlesome, troublesome users?
Yes.
And if somebody does drop out or they get kicked, can a new person be invited to the league?
Users can join at any point. It's not, you know, it's not something. They're invite only. So, you know, we're trying to maintain it so that, you know, you can coordinate of who you want in your league. We don't want random griefers joining your league out of nowhere. But if you want to share the fact that you want to start a league with a community, you can, of course, you know, start the thread in the forum or whatever and say, okay, guys, I'm looking to create a league. Who wants to join me? You exchange gamer tags, you invite each other, you know, done. But league members can come and go throughout at any point in the league, and it really doesn't matter when they join. You can have people joining in the middle of the playoffs. You can have people join in season 3. It really doesn't matter. It's either a user control team or a CPU team, and control can be relinquished back to the CPU or the team can be taken over by a user at any point in time.
And as far as the other features of My League Online, again, and you spoke about this on the post-game podcast, there's only so much you can do, especially in the first year, to actually get a mode up there that's fairly fully featured, but also works. And as far as customization, because we'll get to this in a sec with MyGM and My League offline, but what do we have as far as the customization features? Because we've got some great stuff being able to relocate and everything in My League offline. There's not much of that has been able to be brought in this year.
Unfortunately not. And I think part of that is, you know, just how high quality the assets can be when you customize, when you relocate a team. And that would really, you know, put a lot of strain on the network to have all those high quality designs be transmitted over the internet. So our focus was in My League Online this year to make sure that we have an experience that we can trust, an experience that is stable and that works. Eric made a huge point about that in the developer diary. So customization is there to a point in that, you know, you can create your custom roster, you can have, you know, created players on that roster, so you can be as fantasy as you want to be, you can do your fantasy drafts. The game plan feature has carried over, and it's better than ever. This year we've also added all the defensive settings to the game plan, so you don't just set up your matchups, you can also set all the defensive settings that made the return last year. You can set them up for each opponent. So all of the 30 users can set up all 29 game plans, their rotations, their POEs, their defensive settings, their bench depth, their zone usage. They can you know, set all that up for each and every one of their opponents throughout the league. The relocation and rebranding features aren't there, but I think it's still a great mode, and it offers everything you want to get a core experience that's really fun and that contains the best elements of My League Offline in the time that we had to do it. And just like Eric said, I don't want to use the excuse that, you know, oh, we only had 9 months, because that's our problem. That's never the user's problem, you know, but it is what it is. And we didn't want to bite off more than we could chew and end up disappointing our user base. We wanted an experience that's fun, but that is just as stable as it is fun. But there are, you know, there are fun little tidbits in there. Like I mentioned on the post-game podcast, or on the forums, I don't remember where, but as you go along, you know, if you and I are negotiating a trade, everyone in the league might find out about it through a leak in the social media, you know, and suddenly, you know, you might have, you know, John calling you up and being like, you're going to get Drummond from Leftos. How exactly? You know, so, or, you know, that player that, you know, someone had to waive to make room for a trade now is a free agent. So you'll see that announced in the social media, and the ticker that we introduced this year is going to be in the forefront at all times. So when the free agents scroll along, you know, the best the five best shooting guard free agents in my league online, you might notice and be like, when did that player enter, you know, when did that player get waived? I've wanted him and never got the chance to get him in the fantasy draft. And, you'll rush to the free agency pool to be the first to grab that player and add him to your team. So there's a lot of, you know, fun elements. And users that we've interacted with have been very appreciative when we mentioned, you know, all these things that are core to the My League offline experience that we've brought over and understood, you know, that we're just as passionate, if not more, than they are about this game. And we wanted the off-season to be a thing as much as they did. But, you know, there's always the fact that, you know, My League Online need to make I don't want to say a return. It need to make an introduction, and that introduction had to be the best it could be. So I think we really struck a balance between creating a core and fun and stable experience in the time that we had.
Well, if it was that easy to implement everything at the snap of a finger, yeah, you would do it in the first year. So there are obviously limitations of what can be. And I think, as you say, people understand that once you start explaining the reasons behind it, and you went into detail again on the post-game podcast about the philosophy of, you know, getting that working mode into the game that has as much as possible without without being poorly implemented, basically. But you have implemented these great, lot of great features for the offline My League and My GM. One of the things that really has people excited, of course, is, as we alluded to a few moments ago, relocating a team.
I wanted to call out that what Eric said in the dev diary about just simple relocation and how divisions have to adjust and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are accounting for, which is
Celtics
fantastic.
Celtics are now in Vegas, but they're still a part of the Atlantic Division. I mean, everything has to shift. And having that even accounted for, that's one of those little things that's just like, this happened right.
Yeah. No, it's funny because league realignment, yes, Andrew, like you said, we're accounting for that. It's funny how league realignment started from one of those tasks that were pretty much obvious when we mentioned, when we first started talking about making team relocation a goal for NBA 2K16. And on a side note, I have to thank the entire, and I'm not joking on this, the entire NBA 2K development team, because everyone contributed to making relocation a reality this year. Everyone came together and made this an amazing feature that I can't wait to have users get their hands on. But league realignment was one of the things that were one of the most obvious knock-ons to having team relocation. And once we started experimenting with how the league should be realigned after a simpler relocation, say, you know, taking the Trailblazers and moving them to Vegas, once we saw it in action, we realized how hard of a problem that can be. It was quickly obvious that it's a mathematical problem that requires a proper algorithmic solution. So we had discussions that are way too nerdy to even bring up in a podcast where four nerds talk about their moms. But, you know, we had discussion after discussion after discussion on how the algorithm should be implemented and how it should choose, how it should, you know, separate teams into conferences and then break them down further into divisions, and how do we minimize the changes that happen in the league so that, you know, you don't move a team 2 miles to the right and suddenly the whole league blows up. How to minimize changes to the league, but also make it so that, you know, the divisions make sense. And it's the most interesting and fun thing to me was seeing all those people that talk about how Portland, how, you know, the Southwest division being the most misaligned division along with the Northwest, how that became like so obvious once we ran our algorithm over the league, how much it would disagree with the current division setup and how much it would feel like, no, it's obvious that, you know, this team belongs there. It's like, you can't really argue with that, but the NBA is what it is. So it was, you know,
Well, I remember, I think it was their first season, the Orlando Magic switched around a couple of divisions their first year as they were trying to realign the divisions.
Right.
In between seasons. I think they even spent a year in the Midwest division, as it was at the time. And obviously, in Florida, they are not in the Midwest. So that,
well, obviously,
just trying to find
obviously, if you see the Orlando Magic being the Midwest division, I'd like you to let me know. because that's obviously a bug. I don't know if anyone told the NBA that back in the time, if anyone reported that bug to their tech support, but...
Well, see, no social media, so we couldn't really yell at him. Just had to yell at him.
Yes, that's fair. But
let me write this letter.
It's a very angrily worded letter.
In 7 to 14 days, you'll get a response back.
Yes. Well, this guy had a typewriter.
No, but
So when you are relocating teams, there are obviously you have predetermined cities. Because I think there's some people who are thinking that perhaps they can relocate it to Albania, perhaps, if they want to have their hometown team. So it's within the United States and Canada.
It is United States, Canada, and you know, even non-continental United States, so Hawaii is included. And Alaska. Anchorage is one of the cities. But what's really...
Well, isn't it? There's an interesting one for realignment because isn't Alaska simultaneously the most northern, eastern, and western state?
depending on which direction you decide to fly towards. So it only makes sense that Alaska, because of that conflict, will be in the central division.
Of course.
Just pick the average. West,
east, if there is, or it's a division by itself. Exactly. I mean, a new seventh division, yeah.
You wanted expansion, there you have it. it took a bug, but it's there.
It's not a bug, yes, it's a feature. Exactly.
I
have excellent.
What picking a city out of the map determines is two things. There's a reason that there's a finite amount of cities. One, we wanted to model the cities, as in each city has a cost to move to its downtown area and a cost to move to its suburban, its more rural area, if you will. So there's different relocation costs associated with that, different potential profits. So as you go through the years and you complete owner goals, you're going to generate bank, not in the form of VC, in the form of, you know, virtual dollars that you're going to accumulate and that will allow you to, you know, make moves that otherwise would be harder to make. So your owner, for example, might be more inclined if you decide to move to a big market and will give you more money. However, the owners of teams near and around, you know, in and near the city that you're going to move to might have severe objections to that. So you might find, you know, getting your relocation proposal approved a much harder task than you originally thought, especially if you spend all the allowance that your owner gives you, the whole owner contribution merely on getting to that city, you know, because on top of the cost of moving to that city, you have the facilities that you need to buy to make your arena impressive and to make sure that, you know, that you're going to get the crowd to your arena, because if you spend all your money moving, you know, to a big market, it's kind of a given that you're gonna get people to visit, because some cities will have higher inherent basketball fan interest than others. We've tried to model, you know, which cities are bigger basketball oriented cities than others. So some cities will pose more of a challenge to getting to attracting crowd arena than others. So different cities have, you know, the cost, have the potential attendance, and then it's how much money is left in your bank to spend it on facilities to make sure that both you sway other owners into believing you have a decent proposal to make and that you're not just building, you know, a floor and some seats scattered around the floor just to justify an arena. You know, you have to make something reasonably impressive to the other owners. So you have to strike a balance, you know?
Well, that's in my GM. In my league, you can basically play God.
Yes, of course. My league is the sandbox. There's no owner vote. Yep. Nobody can block your location. You can immediately move the team wherever you want. You can immediately design new jerseys and get them. It really doesn't matter because it is the sandbox. But in my GM, we've tried to make it, you know, a year long experience, something that you're working on in the background between simulating and playing games, something that you have to work on throughout the year, you know, you might focus on your short-term goals first, because those goals might give you the amount of money that you need to get that last owner to agree to your proposal before it's time for the March 31st deadline to submit your proposal. And then comes the off-season, until when you have no idea if any owners will be swayed one way or the other in the final decision, you know. So it's an exciting experience, but if you're more kind of a sandbox guy, or you really want to get the Clippers out of their horrid uniforms, you can, you know, you can feel free to just go into my league and have that be the first thing you do going into the mode. Nobody's stopping you.
So can you actually rebrand and change those designs without moving a team? Or is it
absolutely, absolutely. Relocation is not a prerequisite to rebranding. They're two completely different things. So owners do not need to approve your new uniforms, although one might actually, you know, make the point that they should. Some teams have made more questionable choices than others over the years. So it wouldn't be that bad to put it to a vote. But that said, no, you do not need to relocate your rebrand. And one thing that might not have been clear, because I see some confusion on forums, is that even if you choose the city, you don't have to keep the name of the city or the name of the team. So if you move to Oakland, you can go the Warriors path and rename your team Golden State. If you move to, say, you know, New York, you don't have to name your team the New York something. It can be whatever you want. It can be the Manhattan whatever, you know, or even you can be as creative as you want. The city name doesn't have to be a city name, and your team name can be as crazy as you want. There's no limitation as to
that's pretty cool. I guess that hasn't really been there has been that confusion.
So
that's good to hear. That'll definitely help, especially with the sandbox style, where you can really create your own crazy league.
so the point of the cities is to provide us with a way to have, you know, a finite amount of cities that we can model to, you know, to allow you to, you know, have to have that fight over how much money am I willing to spend? Is there a big enough market where I'm going? Am I going to have to fight other owners that already have teams profiting from that market? You know, how much money will I have to spend on facilities to impress the rest of the owners that might have, you know, nothing to fight me over, but might not be impressed by my proposal? But we've made a point of, you know, of exposing that stuff. So if an owner isn't impressed by your proposal, you can actually talk to them and ask them specifically, what do they not like? What do you have to work on to sway them? And more owners might be stricter than others.
So again, you're getting that feedback. You're not just having the game till you know and having to guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. It's not just a spreadsheet where, you know, some owners are in no, some owners are in yes, some owners are undecided, and that's it. No. Undecided and no owners allow you to talk to them, and although you can ask them a number of questions to see what they think about your proposal, and some of them might say, you know what, I just don't think the city that you're moving to is a market that, you know, belongs to the NBA, that is, you know, that is good enough for the NBA. Others might say, you know what, I really value luxury facilities and you have none of them. Or others might say, oh, you're thinking of moving out of LA? One team less in LA. Well, there you go. I love your proposal. I don't care if your arena is a pigsty, you know? One less in LA means more money for me. I love your proposal. So you have all these owners have the different expectations, and you can talk to them. And you know, the improved interaction with the owners has expanded, began as an idea there, but expanded into other parts of the game. So in negotiations with staff in my GM, you'll be able to talk to ask each staff member that you're negotiating with what they think of your team. You know, you can ask them what is their dream job and find out if you're offering them the proper role. You can ask them if they think that your team style fits with their team style, and you can, you know, so there's a whole, it's we've gone way beyond just discussing years and money. We're exposing all the parts that go into these negotiations. And the same goes with players, you know. You can ask a player what you think, like, if he feels a sense of loyalty to the team and if that's affecting, you know, the way he sees the team and, you know, potentially how stringent he's going to be in the negotiations. You can ask a player what he thinks of the team's roster or what he thinks of his fit on the team's roster. There's been a lot of expansion in the MyGM experience to give the user more feedback in every part of the game over why yes, why no, why that player, why this trait, you know? It was a major part of the focus this year is talking to the user, explaining to the user why something is happening, making the experience more engaging, and showing all the factors that go into the complex logic, and making, you know, these conversations feel like conversations. It's like, you don't...
Yeah, and less frustrating. So you're not saying why can't I do it? Why is it just rejecting it? You know, well, I'm not going to bother with this feature anymore because it doesn't work.
You talk to a player and you're like, you're asking me for 12 million when you're already declared that you're happy with the 8 million that other team is offering you. Like, what gives? Why is that? And you know, you talk to them and you find out that they plainly think your team is going in the right direction, that your team style doesn't really fit them as a player, and that they'll have no role on the team, you know, and that they just think that the rest of your roster just isn't good enough, that they won't be surrounded with other players that will lead them to success. And maybe that leads you to say, you know what, that makes sense. Maybe I need to go through the draft. Maybe my team is in a state where I'm going to attract no free agents. And all that is communicated to the user this year.
So again, yeah, it's just great to have that feedback and not have to guess and to actually have play a game within a game as well, to, you know, with the free agency negotiations or relocating teams and everything, and actually not just, as you said, click buttons and make things happen. But getting back to the creation elements, because that is the big thing, obviously, with My League and MyGM. When you actually create the assets, the logos and everything, there's going to be base parts, is there not, to actually build?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
sort of like the Shoe Creator thing, or a little bit more, or a lot more in.
From what I've seen, if you can believe it, I haven't had the time to spend too much time creating my own uniforms and arenas yet. I can't wait for the game to come out. I mean, as amazing as that is to say, you know, you can actually be too busy in a year to play with the biggest, you know, creation tools that the game offers. But, you know, the jerseys and the arenas have base styles that you can work with, and you can select out of, you know, pre-rendered logos that are colorizable in many different ways. Or if you don't want to work with, you know, preset colorizable logos, you're free to upload your own picture and put it on a jersey. Just like, you know, I don't know why, but someone decided that, you know, I'm going to put Stephen Curry's face on all my jerseys. And that's what they did, you know. So you can import your own pictures, and people that, you know, are as creative as Ben, to suck up a bit, that have been begging to see their designs go beyond regional teams in Australia and actually make it to the NBA, you don't have to actually, you know, you don't have to go through modding. It's much simpler this year to just upload your design to our servers, go into the game and say, you know, import logo, and your logo is on the team's floor now. Now your logo is on the team's jersey, and you can move it around. You can scale it on the x-axis. You can scale it on the y-axis. You can do all these kinds of crazy things with the jerseys. So even if, you know, the stripes aren't to your liking, or the preset logos aren't to your liking, the level of customization that's offered we're confident will allow you to create your dream designs and, you know, be proud to showcase them in the game. And we really can't wait to see what kind of creations the community comes up, as long as they're E10 plus.
So there you go, Ben. You can get Melbourne United into the game.
Yes,
so.
You can. Located in famous Anchorage, Alaska. But Melbourne United nonetheless.
So the other question we had in the forum about about the customized jerseys and arenas and everything. Obviously, very deep options, can do a lot of stuff. Some people might not want to do that every single time. Is it possible to save configurations or have a preset design so if you then start up another My League or My GM, you can actually import that so you don't have to go through and change everything all
as
over again?
As great that idea is, no, not this year. But it is something that, you know, is immediately apparent even to us and that really, that is going to get on our blue sky lists immediately because, you know, it makes sense, you know. And Pro-Am, you know, is a way to, you know, to showcase and to be proud about your designs and use them in the game with other users, but there is the designs, their location designs, and the, you know, their branding designs and the floor and jersey designs that you do in your My League or My Gym will be specific to your save this year.
Well, what we're gonna have to do is actually get that toon picture of you into the game at some point.
Yes,
somehow.
It's like... not already in.
And as Jasmine baptism one.
Yes, absolutely.
No,
so I'm just looking at it. Sorry,
I don't want to sugarcoat it because, you know, as Lefto said, that is an important part. But it isn't terribly difficult to recreate a design. There, as you saw in the program trailer and stuff, there are numbers that help guide you as to where things were and how the logos are placed and everything. And again, that's not a sugarcoating, but it's just more of a it's very, you can create a quite the intricate design. And then
yeah, and just make a note. It was like sliders last year, right?
As long
as you note down all the numbers, you can share your designs with the community. Like, it's the same as, you know, last year seeing people post tutorials over how to recreate that shoe, that, you know, or other tutorials on how to create that rookie using Create a Player. Or, you know, I expect it to be the same this year, you know. This is my core design. Here are the settings on how you can recreate it in your game. And it's not optimal, but it is. The interface has been worked on to be intuitive and to be consistent with other creation interfaces in the game. So all you have to do is just, you know, note down your numbers and just share them with the community.
Right.
That's cool.
I do have, just looking at again through the list of questions we have, we've covered a lot so far through conversation or directly asking you. Do have sort of some that are maybe yes, no clarification questions that I could just hit you with, maybe
okay,
rapid
sure.
fire? Okay, we've talked a bit about player ambition and goals and such, and how has that improved?
I already made a point on this, so just to reiterate everything I've talked about player ambitions this year. One, the main addition this year is team style and how, you know, head coaches will have a team style associated with them, you know, the kind of players that they want on the team. GMs will be the same, and that will drive the compatibility between coaches and players. So players will be more likely to want to go to teams that fit their team style, and you can talk to them about it. You can ask their opinion on whether, you know, team style fits. And I think the main part about ambition is all the additions that we've made and the improvements that we've made on how players think and what players consider important when negotiating a contract and when deciding, when making the hashtag, the decision, and deciding where they're going to end up in at the end of free agency. All that stuff is exposed in My GM through the player negotiation conversation. So you get a much more deeper look at the player ambitions and their players' opinion of your team and the compatibility between the two of you. So you know if you're wasting your time or if in time, you know, that player can be persuaded to join your team given the right move. So player ambitions, you know, play a bigger part in our logic this year, but the main thing is that they're out there. You know, you can talk to players about them. They're clear from the get-go. And of course, in My League, you can edit them to your liking. You know, play for winner, for example, is one of the things that you can edit for players, and, you know, help them decide whether they want to be whether they consider, you know, winning team is really important to them or whether they're fine helping a rebuilding team, you know, get to where they need to be in a few years.
And on a similar note, player retirements, for example, in my league, can you change when they retire? And in my gym, can you talk them out of retirement?
In my league...
or maybe talk them into retirement if you really want to see them.
The answer is yes and yes. So in my league, you can override the player's retirement and keep them around on the player retirement screen, I believe. I can confirm that and reply on the forums if I got that wrong. But in my team, you can talk to a player when they announce the retirement to you, and you can tell them that, you know, oh, stay with us. I really believe we have the team to win one more ring, or, you know, or telling them that I promise to put you on the coach and stuff next year. So there's there are ways in both modes that you can talk players out of retirement if you so choose to.
And protections on draft picks, is that really this year, or very difficult to do?
Really wanted to do it this year, but we just didn't have enough time. But it is on our list. It was one of the things that, you know, has become a staple of the NBA. All these picks with these weird protections that are just crazy. You read these trades, and the pick alone takes 5 lines to describe, because it's top 10 protected in 2016, and top 8 protected in 2017, and top 5 protected in 2018, and top 2 protected in 2019.
Changing conditions goes on and on.
And one of the main challenges in even, you know, getting protected picks to be in the game is, how do you build the interface for that? You know, how many years do you allow protections on, and how granular are going to be the protections? So definitely on our radar, definitely something that is part of the real NBA that we want to reproduce, and that is on our list.
And on a similar note, salary cap rules, any new cap rules this year, cap holds, trade exceptions, designated players, things like that, or again, difficult to account for?
So every time I spend time, you know, reading articles on SB Nation and ESPN about, you know, the free agency coming up, and how teams need to go about it, and what rules are implicated in free agency, we always sit down and discuss, you know, the balance of how much of this can we implement without overwhelming the users and making the game just plain seem broken to users that just don't know the CBA, because you don't get to ship a copy of the CBA with the game, you know, deluxe pre-order edition.
I mean, it's rare that there's actually a manual outside the game these days. Yeah. I mean, that's a lost art.
I can only imagine teams pay good money to have, you know, accountants and lawyers and people that are experts in the CBA to make sure that they do their moves just in the right order, to make sure they don't get in trouble with the salary cap and the luxury tax. And it is a hard thing to where you draw the line, you know. Where do you stop implementing this yet more advanced rule that is in page 212 of the CBA FAQ, which, by the way, immensely useful. That this CBAFAQ.com, I highly recommend anyone that has questions.
Very good. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyone that has questions about the CBA to visit it. But we have revisited the CBA rules that we've implemented, made sure to iron out any issues in the past. But, you know, it's kind of hard to decide which rules you're going to implement next, and how to make sure that it's clear to the user on why things work that certain way. So I can't speak to specifics about which additional rules were implemented this year, because I was kind of out of that part of the game. But I know that we always strive for that, for the balance that I have been talking about.
And you mentioned, of course, free agency, a big part of that, yes. Naturally. You've improved the logic, and so there's not as many good players left in the free agent pool, sure. Things like that. That's another question we've been asked. And also, of course, in my league, you can actually fix that yourself.
Yeah, no, of course. In my league, just turn the logic off, and you can assign players and remove them from teams and exchange them between teams with no like salary cap implications or any other kind of implications. It's a complete sandbox if you want it to be. Now, but to make sure that the core experience, the all sliders of 50 and everything non experience, which is the default experience in a way, we've made sure has had the improvements that that it needed and that we've worked on over the year, including everything we've talked about team state and log and long term goals that teams set for themselves, and having target lists where they can they target their own upcoming free agents that they really think are important to keep on the team, and then other upcoming free agents that they feel they have the ability to make a splash for, and having those players on their target list drive what moves they make through trades. You know, if there's a player that they need cap space for, you might see them be more willing to set contracts, even if it's someone that could benefit them in the short term, because they're planning for the long term. You know, they're setting a contract, maybe a highly overpaid player that has skill, you know, but he's highly overpaid for what he does, and they can get much better value for money. But you know, just like in real life, just like it was this year with the Suns, you know, who made a splash and traded away players and cleared so much salary cap to make a run at LaMarcus Aldridge, and they didn't get him. You know, so there's always going to be the teams that gamble and end up losing. But we made it much more of a point to have teams be very deliberate and to plan ahead, not to have, you know, not to randomly evaluate players and say, oh, this works, let's go for that. Why not? You know,
a lot like you said earlier, that there's random. Well, not random, but certainly there's failure at times. Yep. Yeah. And is there a preseason?
No. Preseason preseason along with D-League is those two things that hardcore users keep bringing up. And the only reason they're not in is because as features, they cost too much to maintain and give too little return as to which users are actually using them. So, you know, people don't realize that as you add features to the game, and as you add maybe even attributes to players and attributes to staff and all these different parameters to teams, you know, you have to maintain the D-League teams if you're gonna have a D-League. You can't just, you know, snap your fingers and have a D-League. You know, those teams are going to take up space in the roster, arranging the preseason experience and having presentation for it and having audio for it takes up resources that, you know, in a game as big as NBA 2K, we just have felt in recent years where we're better spent otherwise. But you know, I think like I've said multiple times in this podcast, it's not despite the community or despite our hardcore users, and I think we've shown a very big dedication to the hardcore users, because we are hardcore users in heart and mind, most of all. It's just, you know, deciding how much stuff you can do and maintain on a yearly basis, and how much return are you going to get out of that, you know, how much enjoyment users are going to get out of that, and, you know, just focusing your efforts as best as you can. But I think, you know, even if we didn't bring preseason and the D-League back, we added other features and improved features that are very core to the franchise experience, and even features that users didn't even expect they wanted it and needed to
use. No doubt, yeah.
You know, and all the customization that we add every year, that we make sure, you know, that you can customize and tailor the My League experience to make it what you want it to be. So no, unfortunate preseason and D-League aren't in, but, you know, so much has gone in for the hardcore users for the offline and online franchise experience this year that I really think we can make up for those two omissions, if you want, in a lot of other ways.
Once again, in my league, you're not restricted by when you're moving teams around. You don't have to worry about getting owners' approval and everything. In my GM, can you override the decision of the owners with VC, or is that another case of we have to buy the team buy the team option, and then you can just do it.
Even if you buy the team, you have to deal with the other owners. You know, like buying the team just gets you a surefire yes from your own owner, because you're the owner, and unless you're, you know, kind of split personality disorder, you're not going to vote no and sabotage your own proposal. So no, there's no
sort of Gollum Lord of the Rings reference in there, or
talking to the mirror and another person being in the reflection in the mirror saying, no, we're not relocating, we're not moving.
It wants to move the team. No, it wants to keep the team where it is.
So
that was pretty good.
That is a good impression, I have to say. I am impressed by your impression.
Thank you.
See what I did there? Okay. So I
you can't make those jokes. I don't have a soundboard to do the rim shot.
I know.
And I'm too lazy to edit it in as well. You know that.
Boy, do I know.
It's fair. So far I'm in agreement.
You can't spend VC to just persuade other owners. But you know, people that spend enough time in the mode will end up accumulating the kind of money that they need from owner goals to make sure that, you know, they have all the money they need to spend on the relocation itself to make the proposal impressive enough where owners will not be able to say anything but yes. And if you do end up buying the team, part of the profits of the team will go towards your bank, since you can't, you know, fulfill owner goals anymore because you're your own owner. Same as the VC that you earn every year based on the dividends from your profits, you're going to earn money towards future relocations. So the more you spend, the more time you spend on the in my gym, and the more time you either, you know, build towards buying the team outright, or the more money you begrudgingly do what your owner says, you know, the easier the relocation process becomes as you go through the mode.
And you mentioned goals, and there's going to be the multi-year plans that are being handed down by the owners. What kind of can you give some examples of some of the multi-year goals? Like, will you be said, look, this is what I've, how do I put it? Does it set out year by year, or at the beginning when you take over to say, okay, in the first year I want you to do this, second year I want you to do that, and then you've got a checklist?
Yeah. So one of the multi-year owner goals that, you know, I've mentioned is, you know, the owner saying, okay, I want you to win a championship, but I don't think I realize that it's not something realistic to ask. To ask for us to do this year, so I'm giving you this many years to accomplish that goal, you know? So it is a goal that you get a few years to complete, but if you do, you know, there's big returns. Or if the team is even, you know, is not a team that can make, that can be crowned champion within 3 years, you might get the more realistic goal of, you know, okay, I realize that right now we just broke the NBA record for least wins in a year, you know. So I don't see us, you know, breaking 100% attendance next year, but maybe in the next, you know, couple of 3 years, we can actually look at least the goal of making the playoffs again, you know, and getting the excitement back in the arena. So those are...
What if you exceed those goals? Like, because one of the big things when you play a franchise mode is, because you're in control, if you are playing the games, you can... And obviously you're going for realism, so you may lose a lot with a terrible team, but a really skilled user is going to find a way to win with an average team. What if you do take a middle-of-the-road team and win a championship unexpectedly because of your influence over the gameplay?
You have to realize, Andrew, that as you go through the mode, right, and your team becomes more and more successful, so do the player's ambitions change. So you might see players that have grown and progressed over the years to help you win the championship, you know, suddenly have way more demands from you than they had in the past when they were young, you know, and didn't even, the championship wasn't even a remote possibility in their head. So the team becomes more and more challenging to manage the more successful it becomes, because the player's expectations rise.
But will the owner kind of say, like, well, how the hell did you do that if you suddenly take this team that should have won 41 games, suddenly win 60 games in the championship unexpectedly?
That's,
I mean,
that's the point. Like, the owner can reevaluate in the middle of the season and give you new goals. You know, and giving new goals based on his... He doesn't assess the team just at the top of the year. He's constantly reassessing the team, and there's multiple checkpoints during the year where he'll decide that, okay, given the current state of the team, after my latest evaluation, these are the goals that I want from you. So, you know, if you impress your owner in the first half of the season and go from a team that was in shambles to a team that's suddenly contending, of course the owner might come up with a mid-season goal of... We're getting there. I want you to make the playoffs now. You know, I will accept nothing less. Yes. It's obvious that I miscalculated. We have the roster to make it. Now I will expect nothing less from you. So the owner will constantly reevaluate the team, and an owner of a rebuilding team will have vastly different expectations than an owner of a contending team, but the owner's own priorities come into play. An owner that considers winning really important might have the expectation of playoffs, even of a rebuilding team. You know, he might not have the patience for you to build out a 5-year or 3-year comeback plan. But you know, an owner that doesn't care that much about, you know, what the press thinks and about winning might be more leaning and giving you, you know, room to grow and the money to slowly rebuild the teams, you know, rebuild the team and maybe even go through the draft. He might even be able to, you know, kind of hold your hand and say, you know what? What I think is a realistic goal for us right now with the current state of the team is to, you know, we can't really go for free agents. Let's just get a few draft picks. I want us to finish the years with 2 picks in the first round. So, you know, that makes it easier for users that pick up MyGM and decide to have an experience with a team they're not that familiar with. It also gives them kind of, you know, an attack plan to start the year, or if you end up being fired from your favorite team and have to join another team, you know, the owner's goals might give you an early assessment of what is and what isn't realistic from the team. But there's always, you know, that balance with some owners being more intelligent than others. So you have to evaluate everything that the owner says to you and be like, okay, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not expecting you not to want this, but I really think this is going to be hard for me to accomplish. And if you say that to the owner at the point where he's giving you the goal, that tells him that, you know, that will, you know, maybe, you know, negatively affect him when you say that, but he will know to have lower expectations and to maybe not expect to make the playoffs that year. So he won't be disappointed when you end up not making the playoffs, because you know what? You warned him about it. And the repercussions, the negative repercussions in that case are much smaller than being cocky to your owner and saying, playoffs, how about a championship? You know, and then you end up going 20-62 to finish the year. At which point the owner will rightly be very disappointed and even mad at you, and you lose an enormous amount of trust.
And that's something that, like, the first year of my GM, I remember having those discussions with the owner and saying, look, this might be possible. And he would just say, like, just get it done. I'm like, okay, so that's basically the end of the conversation. There's no kind of change in, you know. I guess again that comes down to the personality of the owner. Some owners just get it done. Well, you want me to do the impossible? Well, you are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, no, and that's why if you feel like, okay, the owner of the Bulls, you know, no matter how many times I've started in my GM, I just don't like the goals. I just don't think I'm going to enjoy the experience like this. That's why we added randomized owner personality, so you can, you know, start a new my GM with the Bulls and just get a completely fresh owner who's priorities might align with yours, and then you end up, you know, starting the mode in kind of an easier way with, you know, with an owner you can actually work with rather than an owner that, you know, is just by default really hard to deal with because you just disagree that much.
So we've been recording for over a couple of hours now, still glancing down the questions. We're very quickly running out of them. Just want to make sure I get a couple of the quick ones in before asking some of the longer ones as well. Oh, I believe this was actually in last year, but just to confirm, can we switch user-controlled teams in my league?
So in my league this year, because last year you either, when you selected the the teams at the start of the year, when you selected them, you had to do everything with them. And we heard the community loud and clear in that a lot of users want 30 team control, but only want to control certain aspects of the team. So maybe, for example, they don't want teams to initiate trades, but they still want teams to, you know, handle their own scouting and handle the lineups, and maybe even are fine with the free agency logic, but they're really strict about what trades go on, and they want to be able to control trades. So this year, as long as you select the teams you want to control at the start of the mode, you can turn on and off automation options for all teams or specific teams as you go along. You know, so you can start a 30-team franchise and have every team except for one, you know, be completely automated. So then if you do decide to kind of relinquish control of your team and kind of emulate the resigning or quitting or being fired in my gym, all you have to do is just fully automate the team you were on and turn your new team into full manual. So now you have the control of another team. So the granular control is there for the users that have been asking for it. So you can go full 30 team control, but you know, that doesn't mean that you have to actually control every aspect. You can automate as many things as you want, from, you know, whether they are going to sign staff automatically, whether they're allowed to sign any players during the season, whether they're allowed to make their own moves during free agency, make trades, put players on the trading block, populate their own target list automatically. There's a lot of granular automation to make sure that you get as much control as you want while leaving the rest to the AI to handle.
And we briefly touched on it earlier, but will my league and my gym have extrapolated stats? If you play 5-minute quarters, you can actually get the proper generated stats for 48-minute
game. Something that was asked and that we added last year with the introduction of, you know, sliders to my league was extrapolated minutes, because, you know, some people feel like they play at a much higher pace than the real NBA in NBA 2K, and that they can score, you know, 12-minute quarter scores and put up 12-minute quarter stats in 8 and 10 minutes. So they wanted to be able to play 8 and 10 minutes, but then have the minutes be extrapolated out to 12 minutes. And so we added
that.
And then a lot of people were like, what if I want all of my stats to be extrapolated out? And that really caught me by surprise, because I was surprised that people, you know, want to play 6 minutes and play, you know, half of the game, but then they want their stats to add up to the rest of the league. You know, it was a surprising request, but it was something that we could do. And so, yeah, it is an option this year. You can, besides extrapolating minutes, you can also extrapolate whole stat lines. I mean, it is a plain linear extrapolation. So if a player scored, you know, 15 points in 6 minutes, he's going to score 30 points in 12 minutes. But it is there if that's what you want to do.
Cool. And is there a feature that you can export rosters from MyGM and MyLeague to use as a custom
roster?
That
has more technical implications than most users realize, and even I realized, you know, when I first got started on NBA 2K, I'm like, okay, this was a feature in the past, why are we not doing it anymore? Oh, because teams and players have gotten so complex that it's not that easy to just take a snapshot of the league and create a roster out of that. So, no, it's not in this year, but, you know, there are users have already brought up multiple reasons why that would be a cool feature to have. So it is something, you know, that is already on our radar, on, you know, something that we can explore in future years. If we can't satisfy the need, you know, the reasons that people want to be able to do that, if we can satisfy that in another way.
And you already mentioned that in my GM, you're locked to the 82 games because of the goals, etc. But of course, in my league, you can pick
the
custom
season.
14,
29, 58, 82 game season. All those are available in my league. But in my GM, again, to the point that I was making earlier, that we don't want to have to deal with, you know, all the customization options and making sure all of the features that we're trying to add in every cycle work with 50 different combinations of, you know, league settings. That's why my GM is locked to 82 games.
And might be moving out of your department somewhat, but I have had a question about in-season relevant storyline, some commentary and both in game and I guess in the front end as well, in the form of articles and whatnot, as far as building the story of my league.
I mean, we have added the more social media categories this year, so there's going to be more ways that you get league news. And the most important part, to make the rest of the league more front-facing and, you know, to keep the user in the know of everything that's going on around them, is the ticker. That's the big addition for us in the franchise team, is the ticker being there to tell you about all the recent transactions and all the recent injuries. And something really cool that I was that we got in the ticker this year is that, you know, you're going to see players go on streaks, on hot streaks during the season, and, you know, that's going to be mentioned in the ticker. You know, you're going to see in an upcoming game, or, you know, the player that's key on one of the two teams having been, you know, on fire from three-point range over the last 9 games, and you're going to see that mentioned when that game is brought up as an upcoming game on the ticker. You know, there's a lot of categories in there, and they're all contextual, so depending on whether you're in the regular season, early or late in the regular season, whether All-Star voting has begun, whether you're in the off-season and you're in the draft or in the lottery, or whether you're in free agency, the information that the ticker shows you is always going to be contextual and allow you to really get the most important news at the proper times throughout the season. But to go further in the customizability of the mode, if you decide that a category that shows up on the ticker is really of no interest to you because, you know, you either don't care about injuries, or you've turned them off, or, you know, you've turned the frequency so low that you really don't want to know, or you just don't care about the other team's injuries, you can go in the ticker settings menu and just disable any categories that are just of no interest to you. Or maybe, you know, you want to only have headlines show up in the ticker because they contain all the information you need. You can do that. You can just have headlines on and turn stat leaders and game results off. You know, you can adjust the ticker to give you the information you need to stay on top of your league at any given time.
And I've been one to talk about tickers before and everything, as we know from a pass to the site and everything. And I think between the ticker and the team intel screen, especially since you, like Lefter, as I said, you can customize it and choose what actually shows up and doesn't show up, and gear it to what you want to, or with everything. I'll admit that there's been too many times where I'll just sit there and just kind of stare at the ticker for a good, I'll give it 10, 20 seconds, and then feel like I'm all caught up on everything I need to know before I go into the next game or make my next, you know, month-long simulation jump or whatever, however I'm choosing to play at that time.
Yeah. It,
those two screens are just amazing.
And again, you're getting that more, the feedback and the information about the game that you haven't in the past. So you're pulling back the curtain, in a sense, to say this is how everything works.
It's not just the, you know, what's going on and what the cards you're playing with, but how they're happening and why it's happening, and just that extra layer. Like, you know, Leftos has explained, it's phenomenal.
Question about the getting back to the draft. Has there been any changes made to, if you could talk a little bit more about the logic behind draft picks and perhaps teams picking busts and making the poor decisions, which you do see, and also the generated draft classes, whether there's been any change in the logic of how the players are generated?
The answer is yes and yes. Both are draft logic. So in the NBA draft as well as fantasy drafts, with a focus on fantasy drafts, you know, with the introduction of My League Online, the logic has been revised to make sure that it is how we want it to be, and to make sure the randomness and the busts and everything is there without without having the crazy, completely senseless picks that happened, you know, because of bugs in years past. So we have taken a hard look at our draft logic and also at our generated prospects as well, in that we have, you know, Mike Stoffer, B. Edward Troy, and the team, the roster team, as well as, you know, us franchise guys, take a good hard look at, you know, the templates that generate players to figure out how to make them both work with the new rating system that, you know, that Mike Stauffer has announced and has talked about on social media and that has been discussed on the forums. You know, the Hall of Fame scale, we've made sure that our rookies will have been adjusted to that effect. We've made sure, you know, we're really paying attention to the ratio of elite, great, good, and average prospects that we create to make sure that that the league remains balanced, and that you have those years, those exciting years where a star enters into the league, and maybe the next year again a star enters into the league, and then you have a lull where, you know, everyone's fighting over those two stars as they're making their career, but nothing big is coming out of the draft. And our focus has been not on just the first years of the franchise, but on building a franchise base that can produce great results over the whole 80-year span. So we've been taking, you know, high-level looks at how our league looks, how many players are over 90, how many players over 95, how many players over 85. We've made sure to take a hard look at progression and regression, look at specific attributes and how they progress and regress, make sure it all makes sense, make sure, you know, that players regress after they're done with their peaks at a proper rate, that rookies enter the league at, you know, at a proper talent rate, and that they grow to be stars or not, and how all that stuff works. There's been a lot of work going into that. And another thing that's been, you know, kind of a thorn on our side, and that I'm excited to talk about, is that, you know, we've paid attention to the accessories this year, and we've actually written a lot of logic in how accessories are being picked to go on players. So, you know, you won't see, you know, just four random accessories on different body parts, and then a completely different accessory on the player's left knee, a white full knee sleeve on the left knee, and a knee pad and a black knee pad on the right knee. You know, those things were completely unrealistic and were definitely not the way to go. So even with accessories, we've paid special attention to, you know, deciding that, there's a very high probability that a player will wear the exact same accessory on both knees if they wear an accessory on their knees. There's a very high probability that if a player is wearing this on this body part, they will wear most probably that on their other body part. That if they're using that color on home, they'll be using that color on away. So gone is all the complete randomness that, you know, ruled accessories. Then there was just a percentage over how many accessories we would wear on a player. We've really taken a hard look and made sure, you know, and we've really liked the results we've seen with players coming into the draft classes with accessories that match, you know, and with colors that make sense instead of having, you know, a rainbow of accessories on home and another rainbow away.
Which is, I mean, that's the thing you kind of do manually. Like, I like to sign a terrible player. I won't name names because they're all better than me, and just load them up with every single accessory and just make, they're like the clown.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that, you know, and you can make players stand out. But that's a
manual thing. You don't want that to happen.
Yeah, of course. But the options are still there, you know. The manual, you can assign accessories this year. Of course, again, like any other year, if you don't like what we have, what I made a point of, you know, of talking about is that, you know, people have been criticizing how random the accessories have been over the years. So, you know, I'm just very happy to say that they're no longer random. We actually have taken attention in, you know, choosing accessories against each other and making sure the colors match and making sure, you know, the accessories. We've actually even looked at the percentage of how much each accessory is being used in the NBA right now. So much more popular accessories will be worn by more players in the draft class than others. And both parts that are more popular to have accessories on them will be prioritized when we choose what body parts will get an accessory and what body parts will not. So you see, you know, the accessory matching much more of what is in the modern NBA right now, rather than just, you know, just throwing the dice 12 times.
A bunch of long socks and
getting, you know, the results of years past.
And my final question, you've talked a lot about what the improvements have gone into player logic, giving them a brain as far as ambition and all that kind of thing. You've also mentioned on the post-game podcast that there's, and I think it was mentioned in the developer diary as well, that there's multiple injury yes. slots as well. So then there's, which is fantastic, and that we have that. So there's a very, very deep sense of these players being almost real players and having being able to replicate real life.
I mentioned it on a post-game podcast. I just want to mention it again. That one of the funniest things to me has always been how, you know, a player gets a migraine or the flu and suddenly they can't break their arm anymore because they have the flu. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense, and it has been an exploit for way too many years. There's other exciting things about injuries that we haven't even begun to talk about, and we hope, you know, users will discover. It's some of those things that I just want to see in the little things thread before I even mention them. So I'm really because I'm proud to have owned the injury system with the help of coworkers, as far as, you know, the length of each injury and how it affects players and everything like that. But I'm really excited to see what people, how many of the new little features that have been added to injuries people will find out over the year when the game releases. But, you know, yeah, no.
Well, of course, Ben had to make a reference to Derek Rose in the last podcast, so thank you, Ben.
Sorry.
I made a reference to Steve Nash, who out of the blue just, tried to get his groceries home, and suddenly neither of his ankles worked after that.
It's no bowling injury. You've got to give him that.
I thought it was carrying one of his teammates' bags or something.
I don't remember exactly what the story is. And unfortunately, we didn't have time to implement, you know, the letter that explains to the fans why they'll keep cashing that check after going into retirement early. So
there'll be no feature where you can barricade yourself in a teammate's house and get the very
Write an angry letter in Comic Sans.
Yeah, I can either confirm that my DeAndre Jordan will be a feature in 2K16 or 2K17, but you know, you never know.
But the question I wanted to ask about players is we had a question about player progression, and I'm combining two questions here on this one just to finish up the questions that I have. Have there been any changes in player progression and regression for that matter? And what impact does the head coach have on the development in my GM and my league?
So, yes, there have been changes, and one of the biggest changes is that we're paying a lot more attention this year in making sure their roster remains balanced over the years. We don't want the dice rolls just forcing the league down, being overpopulated by players of a certain type or a certain position. So we make we've made changes in making sure that players progress in a balanced manner, so that the league feels like it has an abundance of skill throughout the years. And the other things that we've focused on is, you know, how fatigue affects training, and and having the new sliders in the training in my league and my GM to give users more granularity. But the core of progression and regression has been reworked in more than one ways to make sure that, you know, we get the curves from the player's ability and their player's overall and their individual attributes. Like, we dug that deep to make sure that the curves make sense, and to give users more granular control over progression and regression. Not only the 2K15 had a progression rate slider and an in-season training effect slider. This year we added a regression rate slider, and we also added peak start and peak end to edit players, so you can decide how long will it take for a player to get to their maximum potential if they manage to get there, you know, based on how much they play, how hard they train, if any injuries hampered their progression, then how long they're going to stay at that peak, you know, bar any other factors, how long they're going to stay at the top of at or near the top of their game, and at what age and after they're going to start, you know, regressing in the core of their abilities, and, you know, starting to grow old and being overtaken by other, you know, younger players. But as much as we've worked on progression and regression to make sure it's great out of the box. We wanted to give users the ability, again, to, you know, if they disagree with how fast players regress, if they disagree with us, or and they want a different experience, if they want players to fall off the face of the earth earlier or later, they have all that control in their hands.
Awesome. That's pretty much all the questions that I have specifically about the mode before we wrap up. Ben, do you have any other further questions?
There was like a follow-up in regards to the one I asked in terms of, I think it was actually one that you didn't answer, in terms of there being in-season relevant storyline commentary, yes. Improvements.
The only issue is that I don't really work on audio specifically. That's why I focused mostly on, you know, on the parts that the Francis team is responsible, which is social media, which is the ticker. But, yep. You know, there has not been a single year where the audio team has worked hard to enhance the experience. And I'm, you know, I've worked with them, just not directly on the audio. And I know how passionate they are. And I know how much they want to make, you know, the whole season and playoffs presentation be bigger and greater every year. So I can't wait to see, you know, for you guys to find out what they have to announce, and for you to see all the little things that have been improved on a year-to-year basis in 2K16.
Okay. Can you fire back on social media? Like, can you make a huge faux pas or do a, you know, it'll be over soon, like the Rockets did the Mavericks?
Or just say, you know, in a very, very discreet manner that you're stuck with me, buddy, deal with it. No.
Snake in the grass, you know, everything else we've seen.
Unfortunately not, but if it's that important to you, I'll add it to my list.
That's not so much a blue sky list, that might be a red sky.
How to get the NBA to never approve the game again.
Yeah. How to get above the E10,
yes,
right?
Yeah. How do we get to teen in a year?
Yeah. Why are we now why are we battling with the GTA crew on this one? So wrapping up, you know, we really appreciate you having on the show and giving the insights and answering those questions in detail. The one thing I wanted to guess finish on, as far as the questions go, no more specific questions for clarification or anything, but you know, 2K has obviously been immensely successful, one of the most successful sports franchises out there. You know, one of the most highly acclaimed, you know, well, you know, Wii Sports. People like Wii Sports, I guess.
Hey, Wii Archer is actually pretty fun.
Oh, do you have My Archer in the game?
No comment.
Pre-order cancelled. Pre-order yes, pending.
Exactly.
Pre-order pending.
It's a hidden Easter.
Except I've already mentioned that I pre-ordered the game. You've had all the success and continue to build for the future. Two-part question, I guess. What do you think the key is behind that success? And as far as 2K16 is concerned, what are you most happy with, and what was the most fun thing to work on? And I guess I can throw that over to John as well for whatever he can talk about. Well, it was not so much what you've worked on, but what you think it makes the game successful.
John, do you wanna take that on first, or should I go first?
And don't say Black Dog.
Come on!
Well, that takes away John's answer.
You know what? But I will just think about the wide variety of players that can focus on one aspect of the game and be completely satisfied with what the game delivers, and the wide variety of players that the one game can appease. Think of in 2K15 of just the people who want to jump in for a couple hours and have fun, person who wants to rent the game or game fly it or do that with it, the people who want to play online, the people who want to play offline, the people who want different experiences out of the game. There's all of these different experiences that you can get, and that's what I think the variety that you can get from the game is, and the flexibility. I think and the customization. I mean, we've how many different ways can we go through My League? How many different? I mean, you guys are talking about your sliders and your 49s and 50s and referencing those guys, and I'm the hundreds and zeros. And while at the same time, I appreciate SimNation. No,
Arcade Nation, baby.
Appreciate SimNation. We've had discussions with Dazar on this podcast about that. I am Arcade Nation. Sometimes I just want to sit back and just go nuts.
and just be like, you know what? I don't really care to have anyone stop a dunk. Just everyone. I've got the Crisco on. You're just going to slide right off you. And I am dunking, and there's not much you can do. And I, but at the same time, I want the CPU to, you know, do that to me too. So I adjust my sliders. Maybe I go in, change some ratings, add a couple dunk packages here or there, and I have my fun. I can do that. You guys can have your very specific, you know, you guys can go in and have your very simulation. Why did the Pistons make that decision? And I can go find out and be entertained and happy that I know why the Pistons in my virtual league made that decision. Ben can go in and rebrand the Clippers and any other team that he wants. He can rebrand the Miami Heat to his ultimate fantasy of what that team should have for their pastel colors and be able to do that. I can go do very nasty things to the Lakers if I wish to do that.
I can make sure that Derrick Rose is never
exactly. But if we think about that, and we've restricted ourselves to my league, never mind the my GM experience, never mind everything else that we can offer. And that's why I think that the series has done so well for itself. I mean, we're the hardcore community. We can get so much out of it within ourselves. You're talking about within the niche, 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 and that everyone can be completely satisfied. Can be.
Yeah.
Can be. Some things are impossible, but I mean, and that's what I think.
You've seen the tweets,
I've seen
you know.
Tweets. I've made the tweets. No. come on. 10 years in the community, you don't say something dumb at some point. But that's what I think.
what, like blacktop was the most important mode in the game?
I think I have some tweets to delete from 2010. What is this 5-on-5 only to 21? Oh, memories. Okay, left us.
I think it's the boldness with which we attack every year. Every year feels like a brave new adventure to do a million things in 9 months. And, you know, it was just such a feeling of just befuddlement and amazement reading the developer diary that Eric wrote and realizing how many things we did for my league and my gym and the things that couldn't even fit in that diary and then everything else that we haven't announced. It just, I have no idea how we do it, how we get to build a game that can offer such fresh experiences and that can expand upon both the things that attract a lot of people and the things that, you know, its hardcore audience has been craving and has had in wish lists for, you know, years and years, and be able to deliver a game that, just like John said, can pretty much cater to anyone. From the person that, you know, just have picked up a basketball game because they heard about it, or, you know, their friends are playing it and they want to get into it.
Or they really like the cover athlete.
Yeah, or they like the cover athlete and they, you know. From that player that just picks up the game casually, there are modes for them. And then from the player that has been craving for a basketball game but also likes, you know, the management aspects of games and the, you know, the intricacies of being a GM and juggling relationships, we have a game for them. We have the people that are the most hardcore and want their experience catered to the, you know, the absolutes that they have for the reality and how the league should work and how teams should think and how coaches should think and how players should progress. We have that. We have so much that we expand and that we improve upon every year, yet we also find time to add a completely new mode, to add a completely new groundbreaking feature. It's the boldness, you know? It's almost, you know, it's just amazing that there's so much drive and so much passion. And I can see it in the eyes of the people that I work with, you know? They love the game. They love NBA 2K. A lot of them love basketball with all of their hearts. And we're there to do the best we can. And we just amaze ourselves, you know? It takes 9 months, and then you look back on your year and you're like, how did we do this? So, you know, It's that we find ways to surpass even our wildest dreams on what we can achieve while catering to, you know, 7 million users every year and having all of them be satisfied. It's what drives us, you know, the diversity and just being groundbreaking every year in perfect balance.
Well, you know, we've been talking about the game for close to 3 hours now. So, I mean, you can tell that we're all very passionate about it. You, most so, you know, working on it. I think, as you know, we joked earlier about, you know, how's it feel to be a legend and everything. But obviously, you guys doing some fantastic work on the game. And, you know, it's much as it might piss people off and say that I'm kissing ass. But, you know, you guys are NLSC alumni. So, yeah, I'm just so proud that you guys are fulfilling your dreams and having these dream jobs. And it's awesome, the work.
I'm proud that we can, you know, that we can represent the communities that cultivated us so well. You know, I'm proud to be able to be part of a company that has allowed me to realize my dreams for how a franchise mode should work, while also catering to people that, you know, to our very young crowd that do not care for spreadsheets and per 100 possession stats, you know?
They'll
yeah,
learn.
No, they learn. Of course. If you don't like looking at numbers and graphs, you're doing it wrong. So they learn. But, you know, I have to accept that we have to have things that will introduce them into the game, and they will eventually end up playing with the spreadsheets and graphs.
You know what, actually?
Well, if we've done that, then we've, you know, your job is done, I guess. sorry, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's probably why I like... I appreciate the spreadsheet as much as anyone.
Who doesn't love a good spreadsheet?
But at the same time, I think that's probably why I appreciate that Team Intel and the ticker thing again. It's one of those things that just kind of amazes me, because I guess it calls back to your scouting tabs in the NBA stats tracker, which, again, that was something that amazed me, that you could take raw data, yes, and make it into Word form.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talked about the passion before. We talked about these things, and it's just more of a – you said it's amazing. I think it's kind of terrifying that
– it is both.
It's able to do all this.
Yeah, it is both.
Well, we'll say Charles Barkley would call it sad. Charles Barkley does not like spreadsheets.
Come on, Charles.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You know what? No matter what Charles Barkley says, I'm glad to be a nerd that couldn't get all the women, because look where I am now.
Well, one of us is married, and it's not me.
Two kids. And...
One of us has to be. But, you know, there's a balance to be struck.
I mean, there's got to be some kind of probability.
I get outside every so often. But thanks again, guys, for coming on the show. Great to get, great to talk to you again. You know, this was the OG crew, the four of us doing shows for a while there. So that was a lot of fun. And always fun to have a reunion show as well.
Yeah, and it was pretty close to the 3-year anniversary of the NLSC podcast. I remember it was a couple of days ago
that
it was 3 years to this day that episode number one went live.
And I just feel the need, after seeing your post about that and everything, I just felt the need to apologize to you that we never did ever get 1 billion views on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll get there one day.
I mean, what you really need to apologize for is not appearing in that game developer's calendar left us. I've never really gotten over that.
Trust me, neither have I. I'm still holding people responsible for that. I deserve to be on that.
No matter what you do in your career developing my GM and my league, that's always going to be that, you know, the one that got away.
No, it doesn't have to be the one that got away.
The white whale, if you will.
Game developer's calendar 2023, here I come. That's my next owner goal, you know? My multi-year, my GM owner goal is make the game developer's calendar in 2023.
Well, you know, you talk about your blue sky list.
Yeah,
that's it's good to have goals, But thank you guys for coming on the show. Lots of great insight. I'm sure that the community definitely appreciates hearing all that stuff. And hopefully we asked all the questions. I know there's a lot of questions about gameplay and such. Obviously, you guys can't talk about that right now. And
I'm sure.
Thanks for submitting them anyway. But yeah, we're only going to ask what we can actually get
I'm sure, just to clarify, just because I, John and I haven't been able to talk gameplay, I'm sure Czar and Scott O'Gallagher will be going live over the next weeks to talk about gameplay and some of the most exciting additions this year, as well as Mike Wang, I'm sure. So it is coming. There's no reason to think that we won't be talking gameplay. It's just that this one episode was not the place or time for it.
Yeah. So just to hype it up, I mean, we're obviously all looking forward to it. November 10th, Fallout 4. no. September 29th, NBA 2K16 drops, and of course, the early tip-off weekend, September 25th, Scottie Pippen's birthday. So happy birthday, Pip, for then. And yeah, we're all looking forward to it and getting to get our hands on the game and see all the stuff that you've been talking about firsthand.
Thank you for having us, Andrew and Ben.
Thank you so much, guys.
Good to have you back.
And so, yeah, that will do it for this episode of the NLSC podcast. As always, invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can keep streaming on the NLSC as long as you're listening. We appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. You can follow me at Andrew NLSC. Arcane is Arcane NLSC. And if people want to follow you, John and Leftos, where can they get you? They should already be following you, but just in case.
At Jousming, and Jousming everywhere on everything. And if it's Jousming, I probably have, squatted it.
I'm at Left to Say, and if you wanna stalk me in the parks, look for a dude with blue spiky hair and a red beard.
just to really change things up.
I'm gonna stand out, okay?
And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself for more coverage of NBA 2K16 and everything else we do. So that is gonna do it for this episode of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
I'm John.
Oh, damn, come on. Okay, there you have it.
We got to end with the best guy.
3 years, 3 years in, and we still can't get over talking over each other.
He is Leftos. I'm J to the AO.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week, and I'm going to just have to moderate this fight. See you guys.
Bye. See ya.
Bye. See ya.